and Loki.
Tonight, prepare your brains for a huge retcon, one that takes Mario down a notch or two, allowing him to only be able to rely on the skills of his entire gaming history. Stay tuned for this and the rest of the week's gaming news, hopefully not all as shocking, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on September the 10th of 2017, episode number 699 of our show, here to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with all of you guys out there on the entire internet, all of it, and my co-hosts here in studio, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, up first.
Sup.
Hi, how are you?
I'm full now.
You're full. Full of garbage. I'm just
no,
kidding.
No, you ate my food and it was delicious.
Yes, yes. You, Dark Sakura cooked a chicken or something. What was?
Well, Dan, I made Dan grill it, but I marinated it.
Oh, you worked together.
I made a marinade.
Oh, it's like a very husband-wife thing to do, cook
yeah.
together. Did you enjoy the week off? How was your Labor Day? Laborious?
No. I was out in 105 degree weather. Watching Peppermint perform.
Yeah. Yes, I missed all that. The Rainbow Festival and all that you were doing sounds like it was awesome. But the heat wave? No, thanks.
I went home pretty sick.
I think it says something pretty strongly that, like, Atlanta was having perfect weather. Like, the humidity wasn't even that bad. Or I'm just used to it now after 5 years of Dragon Con. Like, the humidity wasn't even that bad. When I was reading all the stuff back home about 115 degrees here in Sacramento, I was like, nope.
Well,
no, thanks.
I went out to work the Rainbow Festival with...
Right.
It was nice doing something good for the community, but there were fewer vendors than there were last year. Last year was actually my first year going.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, though, Taryn Through You was, of course, the hostess, local queen, who was always amazing to watch. And Mercury Rising performed, who's another local queen, who is also just a really nice person. And then... We finally Peppermint came on stage and sang.
Oh, nice.
Like legit sang, didn't lip sync.
Okay.
And it was a really good performance, but by the time I was done with it, I was way too hot. And
yeah.
So I couldn't get like cool until I got home under the cold tap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was really bad. I think I got a little hot heat sick.
Yeah, the heat was no joke. I would not have wanted to been out in it if I was here. So I'm kind of really glad I missed it for that reason.
Yeah.
Well, I also missed him. Say hello to Techmaster Loki. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
And happy birthday early. Tomorrow is Loki's birthday, for those that are unaware. What, 36?
7.
37?
Yes, if this
in a row?
Year, then make the joke.
Oh, yeah. There we go. It's this year. Yay, in a row? Thank you, Dark Saga. Well, happy early birthday to you. And
Thank you.
I noticed that the misses... kind of went in on a gift for you with you. Well, obviously, it's your money,
well,
too.
Yeah, I mean...
Family
not,
gift.
Not to play it down or anything. We were shopping for a car anyways. It just happened that we found one this weekend.
So. Sure.
So
you got a new car!
Yeah, I got a brand new car. Yeah.
Nice.
So I had a 2008 Fit, and I traded in for a 2017 Fit.
There you go.
And now it's not red, it's white.
Okay. And the next one can be blue, because America... Exactly. Even though it's a Japanese car, but I have something. I was going with some sort of reference there. Great. Well, happy early birthday, and glad to hear you got the new car. We'll check in with everyone's gaming weeks in just a little bit and get into our kickoff topic. But first, I want to say hello to our chatters over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And some folks in chat tonight commenting that the quality of the show seems different, which is weird because I did not make any changes except I uninstalled and reinstalled Skype to get that to work.
Well, I also have a new microphone.
That's right. Loki does have a new microphone, so that might be worth mentioning because some of you guys were mentioning a couple weeks ago. I think we found there was a short in the cable or something like that, so Loki may sound different. I would expect that, but I wouldn't expect the entire quality of the show to be different. That's the weird
God,
thing.
Oh, God, no. Lower those expectations.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully the podcast sounds the same. Maybe it just has something to do with the live broadcasting or something. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, maybe it sounds better. I don't know. Anyway, Hey, if you are discovering Orange Lounge Radio because of Dragon Con and the podcast track of the Dragon Con event, I just want to say hi and welcome, because the podcasting track was awesome in having me on several panels this year, and I got to do a lot of networking. I had a great time at Dragon Con. This was my fifth year there, and I almost feel like this is the best one yet in many ways, and a lot of great like motivation coming from Dragon Con and the podcasting track. I really want to thank Brian Dunaway from FilmSack, and I want to thank Charles McFall from Pokemon Go podcast, and everyone really involved in the podcast track for because I don't remember all the names and podcasts off the top of my head, but I want to thank everybody for having me as a guest this year and letting me participate in panels, because I'm sure it was very motivating for other people, but it was also very motivating for myself. And yeah, I just had a great time. So welcome to our little show. If it's your first time listening and you found out about it over at Dragon Con, I'll give you the elevator pitch on Orange Lounge Radio real quick. We're on episode 699 tonight, so we've been going for 15 years. 15 years ago, myself, Loki, and Dark Sakura, we all met playing a little video game called Dance Dance Revolution. Yes, where the arrows scroll up the screen and cheesy techno dance music plays all the time. But we loved it, and there was a whole community around that game and all the music games that Konami was putting out around that time in a series known as Bamani, Beat Mania. So we all got together being fans of that, and we started this little show for that community to monitor the tournaments, to monitor the new releases of these games, because you know there were six or seven games in the series that were all getting new updates. So we were about music games in the beginning, but as the Mamani series kind of started to slow down, we had a little lull before Guitar Hero 2 really took off and I think changed the industry kind of back into music games with that and Rock Band. We kind of shifted to, that was right around the time podcasting got bigger. So we kind of shifted to a show that's now podcast about all video games, because it turns out there's more games we like than just DDR. Right, Dark Sakura? There were other games that you played back then besides just DDR. Like you would use your dance mat to play Soul Calibur, right? I'm just kidding. I feel like you tried that at one point.
I did.
Yes, I knew it.
But I beat the game with Rod Calibur.
Nice. Okay. See, there you go.
It works best with Siegfried.
I remember you were the first one that ever introduced me to. Well, actually, when I was first getting into DDR, I mean, I always knew that, obviously, I knew gaming in Japan was a scene and that they had games that we did and all that. But it was really because of DDR and meeting people like Dark Sakura that, like, my eyes really got opened up to how, like, oh, what do you mean it's called Bust a Move in Japan and all the songs are different and most of them are actually better? And what do you mean that there's this whole Castlevania game that I never got to play here in the U.S. and all this other stuff? Like, my eyes really got open to all that. So, and now here we are 15 years later.
Welcome to the world of imports.
Yeah, right? Right? That was what it is. You taught me how to mod my first PlayStation. You didn't really have to teach me much. You were like, here, I have like...
Here's a paperclip.
No, here is this plug, because I have 5,000 extras. You put this plug in the back of your PlayStation, have fun.
Yeah. Yours was the one that you used like the 5-point switch for,
uh-huh.
But it still had the I.O. port in the back, which meant yes. All you have to do is just use the plug.
Yes.
We still have a first-gen PlayStation
mm-hmm.
that takes, like, you use a paperclip.
Yeah.
Or a really stiff twist tie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just hold the button in and then switch your discs.
So, yeah. So we all learn from each other about this great gaming culture. And we invite all of you to do it every week because, we used to play DDR. And after we were done playing DDR, we'd all go to the food place out front of Roseville Golfland. And we'd sit there and have dinner and talk a little smack about our favorite hobby. So that's kind of – this is the world's biggest diner table is how I envision it. And we're just here to talk a little smack about gaming news. I don't think we're going to break gaming news here. I think there's plenty of blogs and Twitter and all that stuff that's going to break the news. But we're gonna discuss it and try to learn, from each other's perspectives about it. So there you go. That's Orange Lounge Radio in a nutshell for those that are new. I probably should have saved that spiel for next week, being that it's 700 next week. But I can always just refer back. I say, go listen to last week's episode. I'll talk more about what Orange Lounge Radio is. All right, anyway. So, SSU100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, you're just missing the mozzarella sticks. And let me tell you, the mozzarella sticks at this place is a local chain called Brookfield's. The mozzarella sticks there are bomb. Like, they are really good. Like, some of the best. So anyway, just saying. Just saying. All right. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which actually for our kickoff topic tonight, we want to talk about some of the news that we missed while we were out. So I picked three big headlines from last week leading into Labor Day that I thought we could talk about here at the top of the show. First off, Nintendo announced last week. Well, I don't think they really – I guess they did announce it, but it was kind of – obviously they don't want to make a big deal of it. But they did mention that as of November 8th, Nintendo TV, Wii U Chat, and Miiverse will be discontinued. Those services on the Wii U are no longer. So effectively, the Wii U is being taken out back and shot on November 8th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Japan time. The official Miiverse site, including what you see on the Wii U and the 3DS even, are not going to be there. However, Super Mario Maker, it says that will still be working. Details to be announced later, but my assumption is they're going to do a patch that routes things a little differently and kind of removes that Miiverse element. But everything else that associates with Miiverse is going to be closed. There will be error codes when you try to access Miiverse, but it is gone. TV, on the other hand, that was, if you may not be aware, that already went away in North America. TV is going to be leaving in Japan as well, where I think it's still been going. But obviously, Miiverse is kind of the big thing out of that. So, folks here in studio, folks in chat, what do you think? Are you surprised to hear that Miiverse is ending this fast? Or, is it one of those things where you're like, not really surprised that Nintendo is quickly pulling the plug on a console that is just done, pretty much?
It's just kind of weird that they developed something like this and then didn't carry it over to the Switch.
Uh-huh.
And they have, like, nothing to replace it.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, nothing to replace it, I mean, what's interesting about the Switch is that it feels like it's built into just games natively on the Switch. Like Splatoon 2 kind of worked around it. Like, Splatoon 2 has this very Miiverse-esque
thing
in it.
Yeah, but it's all separate. Whereas Miiverse was all kind of one community. Now you're splitting everybody off in their own communities, which is kind of dumb.
But was it a community worth saving? This is real talk. I mean, there was a lot I did like about Miiverse. I kind of feel like Nintendo kind of unlocked something a little bit charming with Miiverse, but it was kind of slow and clunky, not really fun to browse on the Wii U sometimes. You know, it just kind of had that Nintendo clunk to it when it comes to online. So it wasn't something where I was like, oh, I got to wake up and check Miiverse the same way I check Twitter or Facebook. Like, it didn't really snap the same way, so it didn't encourage me to check Miiverse as often.
But, I mean, then why even carry it forward then in Splatoon 2 then? Why even bother doing something like that if they're like, oh, this is terrible?
Because
it's terrible, but it's not terrible, but it's still terrible.
That's a good question, but maybe it's something that team wanted to keep going. Because I will admit, seeing some of the trends in the pictures and stuff that you get on Splatoon 2 have been kind of charming. Like, there was the whole trend with all the furry stuff going on. And then there was all the pro-trans stuff, which I thought was awesome, that you were seeing a lot of that in the game. And that was kind of, you know, there was about a week of that. And then people were talking about the whole I wish blank was real. You know, like, it feels like Splatoon 2 is kind of like this meme play field for all these things. Although, you know, we're talking about rights and stuff, that's not really a meme, but you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely like that topic of the week, be it a serious thing or a meme, that feels like it's going on in Splatoon 2. And it's a fascinating thing to watch in that community, in my opinion. I don't know. But you're right. It's Miiverse.
But those are the same
Miiverse
terrible people that were on Miiverse that are now in Splatoon 2. So,
but
it's just like, they want it both ways.
But what's interesting about that is because of the way it's designed in Splatoon 2, the terrible stuff doesn't get elevated because you can only like things, and the things with the most likes tend to get elevated. You can't dislike things.
You couldn't dislike things in Miiverse either.
I'm trying to think. No, you couldn't. But I think Splatoon. But to be fair, I don't think anything's changed in that regard since Splatoon 1. Splatoon 1 had all its memes that made it, you know, what it was, too.
All right, whatever. It's different. It's still the same. Whatever. It's terrible. Let's put it back in there, except only in this game. Separate everybody out, because this is what we think the consumer wants.
JD in chat says, you can also report things that are super bad. That's true. JD also points out, my Nintendo account still gives bonuses for logging into Miiverse. Well, I imagine that's going to be changing relatively soon.
I wonder what it's going to do to Miitomo.
That's a very...
Because there was just an update.
That's a very good question. But does Miitomo isn't really powered by Miiverse. Miitomo's a separate thing.
Does anybody still play that?
Yeah, Jamie does.
Okay, aside from Jamie?
Tons of people.
There's dozens of them.
Not as many as in the first week, but I know, like my buddy Jonko was trying to get me to check in on it. So there's other people that check in on it.
Well, at any rate, they just put out an update to go with the, I think some of the other Mii options for... I'll have to look at the update history. There was an update just a week ago. So,
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says more people play Miitomo than Pokemon Go. That's probably not true.
I can't argue with that logic.
But I would bet more people play Miitomo than Ingress. That I would bet. So, you know, you can't say that it's totally a niche thing. Anyway, let's see. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Oh, Kaijudo in chat says, my Miiverse wasn't slow and clunky at all. Maybe your Wi-Fi was janky. Well, it runs this show okay, so I don't know. It just didn't – like, you know how the internet just kind of snaps when you're on your phone? You bring up Facebook and snap, there's your feed. Like, in Miiverse, it was like, bloom, 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 and then, like, you click into something else. Like the little loading.
It's an invisible slow hamster running on the wheel. You just don't see
it. The little hamster in my Wii U that powers it.
It doesn't have enough processing power to render the hamster.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dog on Miiverse. Like, there was some good stuff that came out of it, but it wasn't perfect, you know, as a lot of Nintendo's online adventures aren't. But, I mean, but Nintendo did it Nintendo's way, and it brought some new things to the table as a result. So, I don't know.
It's just...
What?
For me, it's like Nintendo throwing darts at a dartboard. You know, they have all these things that are going to revolutionize something, and it doesn't. And it just doesn't do anything, or it's just not as, like, fantastic as they had talked it up to be. Like, remember wasn't the whole face chat thing with the Wii U, wasn't that supposed to be, like, a revolutionary thing? No, that fucking went nowhere.
Because they didn't wasn't supported well, yeah.
Miiverse, was that a revolutionary thing? Yeah, for a short period of time, and it went nowhere. It went obviously nowhere enough to carry them, you know, to the next platform.
You know what? I will give you that. I do feel that Nintendo did kind of put out these features and then really did nothing to elevate it, I think would be the right word. Because, for example, like you say, the video chat on Wii U was pretty rad. Imagine if that could have been hooked in through the 3DS somehow.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And this goes back, like, even further than that. I mean, if you talk about, like, the whole AR support with the 3DS. Yeah. Fucking did nothing with that. Yeah. And to be fair, Sony did fucking nothing with that either with the Vita. So,
right.
I mean, there's that.
It's not unique to Nintendo in that regard, sure.
So it's just, I don't know. Like, what's the newest thing that they're saying is, like, revolutionary? Okay, the Switch being able to take it places and play with people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are they going to fuck that up? I mean, I just got to figure out.
Well, but Loki, you're assuming that Nintendo fucks everything up, and I would say no, they don't, because, for example, the Wii itself was a gamble, and the fact that, you know, the motion control, but, I mean, Wii Tennis elevated that and sold the shit out of the
Wii.
Yeah,
they got
Wii.
Lucky, and they're trying to recapture that magic, and they're just not, it's not happening.
So that was a dart that connected, and TV, on the other hand, was a dart that missed. But I think Nintendo missed out on trying to elevate the fact that you could participate in TV along with shows like American Idol or Monday Night Football.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And you could do it. And, like, you would never know it because Nintendo was really bad at elevating that. So that's my criticism of Nintendo.
Like, they should do that now. Like, have an app, call it Watch Party, and have different things. Okay, Game of Thrones. We're doing Game of Thrones tonight like that. Like, why isn't that a thing? That's such a low-hanging fruit idea.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I don't know.
I am. All right. Dumb. Anyway, let me look and see if there's any other comments in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, Nintendo made the big mistake and forgot that most gamers over 12 years old are antisocial and like to play alone and not communicate. They only communicate when they want to complain about something. But not when I play with friends. When I play with strangers, maybe, but not when I play with friends. I want to talk a lot when I play with friends.
No, I get it, because I feel very antisocial when I want to play online, because I would like to just play with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like playing with strangers. I'll do it. Like, and the only time is, like, if I'm, you know, like, even Grand Theft Auto 4 was, like, a game I really play heavily in, or Call of Duty or something. And playing with strangers just wasn't as fun as playing with friends. So I feel that.
Let's see. I don't remember where this came up from, but Dungeon Buster says more games should bring back the sound test feature. Why not? Yes. Yes, they should.
They
Why
should not? Also have creepy hidden messages a la Sonic CD.
Yes. Or they should have these sounds that you play them in the sound test and you're like, that wasn't in the fucking game. What is that? That's like a woman moaning. What is that sound test?
That was when we used to put the PlayStation disc and rip all of the sound files off of it. How some of us found out that the demo disc for Umjamrlami still had the hell stage in it.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about moving on to Sonic Mania. So obviously Sonic Mania was a huge game that came out a few weeks ago. And in the last week when we weren't here, they released the PC version, which a lot of people were looking forward to. Well, unfortunately, there was a little bit of a gotcha in the PC version that it was using a DRM system that's pretty controversial known as Denuvo, meaning that from what I understand, usually this DRM kind of requires the game to always be online, a la Diablo 3, a la any MMO that's going to be connected, but Sonic Mania is supposed to be a single-player experience. So people were really not happy about that because you shouldn't have to be online to play a game like Sonic. Now, to be fair, since the controversy from last week, my understanding is that there has been an update. The DRM is still being used, but once you log in to activate it, you don't have to stay connected to Steam anymore. You can actually play it offline. That is the fix that went in place, according to Sega on their Facebook page.
Just don't put it in there in the first place. How about that?
People really don't like their DRM on PC, that's for sure. But I also
I think it's also because that it's more of that... That particular DRM, like, it basically, it's almost like malware. It doesn't uninstall itself. You know, when you uninstall the game, it's a pain. And they're even saying that with it enabled, the performance of the game wasn't as good.
All right, so yeah, that's true. When that's hogging up resources, it can really clog up the game. And yeah,
and then on top of that, here's the best part about it. Yeah. So because the game was delayed a week or something like that, they gave everybody on Steam, you know, hey, here's a copy, a code for Sonic 1. Well, guess what? That actually that counted as the purchase date then on the game. So then once the game finally did get released, you had less time or no time to file a refund if you wanted to do that through Steam.
Yeah, and then also the other follow-up is that whole DRM was cracked in 8 days. Because, of course, you know what they say, hackers gonna hack, right? So
they're only motivated when it's bullshit like that.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, that was a thing that happened. Now let's move on to some positive news. And I definitely wanted to mention this at some point towards the top of the show, but obviously we have a lot of listeners out there that have been affected by these storms that have been going on around the country. You know, obviously there's a lot of focus right now on Irma and what's happening with Florida, and we have quite a few listeners in the Florida area. So of course, you know, thinking about you guys, you know, I'm talking to some of you on Discord and on Twitter, and I know everybody's doing what they need to do to stay safe, so that's great, but still, it's like just one of those, like, wow, this is really awful. But I mean, this is right on the heels of what happened in Houston and with Harvey, and just seeing what happened there is awful. And, you know, believe it or not, here in California in the 90s, I lived in a neighborhood that flooded that was pretty bad. And so, you know, I kind of know what it's like. And I'm not going to say I know exactly what it's like, but I kind of know what it's like to go through something like that. And it sucks. Like, it really, really sucks. And it's scary. And so, but most importantly, I just hope that everybody that listens to OLR is safe. That's the most important thing. Everything else is stuff. Granted, some of it is very sentimental stuff, but, you know, stuff at the end of the day, it can be replaced. You cannot. So, yeah, I hope everybody is safe and all that stuff. So thinking about you guys. And a lot of the gaming community coming together to do some good for support of victims. And Games Done Quick, which, of course, does what? Awesome Games Done Quick, and they do Summer Games Done Quick is the other one. They really threw together a fast marathon, and they did it virtually, which, you know, of course you have to do if it's last minute, but they did a Harvey Relief Done Quick, and they raised $225,000. That's almost $250,000 for the Houston Food Bank, which is really cool. Houston Food Bank providing meals, cleaning supplies, disinfection products for people that were affected by Harvey. So really happy to hear about gamers doing that. I'm sad I wasn't able to catch any of it. Obviously, I was out of town this past weekend, but I heard it was a lot of fun. So
I didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, no.
Too bad, because I would have watched it.
Well, I'm sure they archived it all and put it on Twitter and all that stuff. And
yeah.
If you still want to donate, I'm sure they would not be opposed to that. So check that out. All right. So anyhow, that was something else I wanted to bring up, at least some good news from the past week. So that is that's what's been going on in gaming this past week. We will get into this week's headlines. But first, I want to go around and check in with our hosts and talk a little bit about how was your gaming week. Darkstalker, how was your gaming week?
What did I play? I played some pinball. I played Simpsons Pinball Party at a leather bar. It was in bad shape. I've actually back in Sims 4. I've been looking for houses by good designers, but maybe not be super famous. Like, I'm not doing Frank Lloyd Wright houses. I'm not doing Falling Water. But I'm looking for contemporary designers, like 50s and up, and trying to recreate their houses in The Sims.
And then trap the people inside the walls of said houses.
No, those people live on like a 20 by 20 lot in a square room that has no toilet.
I want to see, and I'm sure it's been done because it's the internet, of course. I want to see someone recreate like the Saw houses or Saw like facilities and put The Sims in there. I'm sure there's some mods or something that have that in there.
I'm sure somebody somewhere has done it. Or the Winchester Mystery House, I'm sure, has been done.
Someone's done that.
If Jamie hasn't done it herself.
I don't have time for that. But someone else did it for Sims 3, and I had it downloaded for a while. I love the Winchester Mystery House, though.
I've never been. Do you know that?
We are fixing this, Rob.
Kind of underwhelming.
You think?
No.
It'll be fine.
It's just, it's not tall people friendly because Ms. Winchester was 4'9".
All right. For those that don't know, it's like a it's one of those tourist attractions in Northern California. It's in San Jose.
It's like
the nutshell.
Yeah.
Mrs. Winchester is the wife of the Winchester gun bang
Guns.
Bang.
Yep.
And she thought that she was being haunted by all the ghosts of the people killed by her husband's guns.
Mm-hmm.
Hired a psychic who said the only way to prevent them from killing you is to never stop construction on the house. When construction stops, you die. Ironically.
Which sounds like a trap in Saw. But anyway.
But there's a seance room that has a door that leads to nothing, to the outside, uh-huh. from the third story.
Mm-hmm.
There are stairs that go up to the ceiling and go nowhere. There's all kinds of weird ghost traps in there. And all the stairs, because she was very arthritic, very old, and 4'9". So there's little teeny, like, 2-inch stairs all the way through the house. And then her collection of Tiffany lamps. So there you go. There's your architectural and crazy person history of the day.
And we were talking about The Sims, though, before we got on our...
Yes, but someone took the time to do the full version of the Winchester Mystery House. The, what was it, 7 stories before the earthquake in 1915?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that when that earthquake was?
The big San Francisco one, yeah. 1906.
1906, yeah. That's it. But yeah, before that, it had something like 7 or 8 stories, and now it's like at 4.
Yeah.
So they didn't rebuild all those.
But. And I've never been.
And they've also uncovered now other parts of the house that... And so I was watching this one person has like different revisions based on different versions of the house. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot.
And it's so weird, too, because you think it would be like out in the middle of nowhere. It's right next to a movie theater. It's like there's
it is.
House,
well, I mean,
movie theater.
Around
there.
The
yeah.
movie theater wasn't there when she built
right,
the damn house.
I understand
house.
That. I understand that. But it's just so weird to see like. You kind of think spooky house on a hill or something like that. No,
no it's
just
right in the middle of San Jose.
Right in the middle of downtown San Jose, practically, yeah.
It's funny when because I went with Kristen, and we did like the full tour that took you under the house and everything, too, and the gardens and all that, and then we went to see Pan's Labyrinth.
Fun. I need to do one of the Halloween flashlight tours sometime. I don't even
they
like
do
scary
it,
things.
They do
it
on
do
Halloween
it.
And every Friday the 13th.
Ah, okay.
But the one we did underground, we had to wear hard hats, and they did ghost stories.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Too spooky for me. I won't even go and see it.
I'm not going to go see it because of what I heard that they did with the one minority character in it.
Alan really wants to see it because he likes scary movies, but I'm just like, I don't want to do jump scares.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I don't want to do jump scares. All right. Anyway, let's get back to video games. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton of stuff. I did play some things. I went back and played a little bit of Skyrim, and I also played some the Lego Movie game, which is pretty fun. And I also played some more of the Office Space Idle Clicker game on my phone because it's just on my phone and convenient. But yes, this week has been, last weekend, I took a trip to the Lego store. I kind of wish I hadn't gone to the Lego store.
Uh-oh.
I bought a nice set. It's, you know, large.
Let me guess, for your kids.
No, it's for me. God. No, I bought them their own sets, but I got this set for me. I'm not ashamed that, you know, I have it, but it's
you shouldn't be.
But it's just like, it's like diving back into that whole, like, scene. It's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff out there. But, yeah. And I don't want to go back to the store again because it's
expensive.
So there. Oh, my God. You want to pay $800 for the Millennium Falcon? Thank God I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan now. However, the Ninjago City looks pretty awesome. And I'm not a fan of Ninjago either, but that's a pretty cool looking set.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week outside of all that Lego stuff?
No.
Okay. My gaming week. So, not a lot of new stuff. I've kind of been going back to stuff I used to play. I did a stream earlier this week on No Man's Sky, which I'd kind of already done a couple weeks ago, just kind of re-exploring kind of a lot of the changes. So I started another new file from the very beginning on stream because I finally moved my PlayStation 4 into the office where I do the live streaming so I can actually stream from PlayStation 4, which I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to do tonight or not. I'm on the fence about what I'm going to stream tonight. So, there's that. And, I've been playing PlayStation 4 games in there. Otherwise, I've been playing, Overwatch, Final Fantasy 14, a lot of the same stuff. I also randomly just kind of picked up Heroes of the Storm again, which I've been playing a lot of versus AI in Heroes of the Storm to get my little daily quests done so I could save up gold. And I saved up 10,000 gold this past week, and I bought D.Va, a character who's of course one of the big Overwatch characters who was recently, not that long ago, probably about a month or two ago, put into Heroes of the Storm. So I actually bought her so I could use her in play. But I haven't really done a lot of player versus player just because I still feel like I'm understanding the. Here's my thing with Heroes of the Storm and a lot of MOBAs where I hit a wall in general. I understand kind of like the general rules, how to play, what to do, what not to do, and I kind of generally understand the operation of my character. What I'm still learning about that makes it very hard, and I think to put my foot into the player versus player, is that I'm not familiar enough with what all the other players do. Because you know in a game like Heroes of the Storm, there's like 40 different people you can pick from. And I know the moves for the five or six ones that I like to play, but then I'll be playing against somebody, and I'm like, whoa, he just did a move where he like froze me in place from across the battlefield. How did that happen? You know, and I'm still kind of like learning about all that, so I don't know when it's safe to, you know, like YOLO and run in there, and I don't know when I got to hold back. So there's a lot of that stuff I'm still learning about. And you know, when you get into some of the competitive stuff, people get a lot more heated if you don't know your stuff. So I've just been a little sheepish in getting in there. But I'm going to find somebody who plays a lot more than I do to take me under their wing and go. Maybe a grandpa from Horde House plays a lot of Heroes of the Storm. I don't know if you guys know, but he's like level 400 probably or something like that. So I'm going to try to get him to take me into some matches and check it out and play a little more of that. So that's pretty much a game that I've been playing quite a bit of this week. But yeah, not really. Otherwise, not a lot of new stuff. I mean, when I went to Dragon Con, I played like enough Splatoon to have participated in the Splatfest, which we ended up losing anyway. But at least the theme was better than the ketchup mayo thing. At least this invisibility of flight was like, okay, flight won, and that's not the team I picked, but at least I'm not like offended by that. let's see. And then I got to play some of the cool arcade stuff that they had at Dragon Con. Cause you know, they have Tokyo Attack was there, who brings a lot of Japanese and import arcade machines to conventions. And then they had like a classic bar in the area, brought in some classic arcade machines. So I was able to play some of those too.
Are they supposed to be bringing the table flipping game in there?
Yeah, they had two of the table flipping game at Dragon Con. Yeah, it was cool. I never got around to playing that. I was playing Neon FM because it's the first time I'd seen a Neon FM that had Korean songs in it. And I was like, what? So I had to play you know, like Mr. Simple and some of the songs that I recognized, you know, from what K-pop I've been exposed to, I had to play that stuff because I thought it was awesome that that was in Neon FM. So I hope that's in all the machines and not just the ones the Tokyo Attack is moving around, because I want to play all those songs because, yeah, K-pop is awesome. What else I want to say? Oh, the classic arcade. I will say this. The classic arcade, the joystick bar, I think it was called, that brought these games in, they had a Donkey Kong remix machine and a Donkey Kong Jr. remix machine. I didn't get to play Jr. Somebody else was on that. But I played Donkey Kong remix. And basically, I mean, it feels like it's just a ROM hack, basically, of the original Donkey Kong, but like with modified levels, basically. And it's flipping hard. I couldn't even get past like halfway. You know, the first board is like climbing up, you know, the rafters and the ladder. I couldn't even get like halfway through that board. I guess I'm not a real gamer, but I couldn't even get like halfway through that board. Like, it was crazy hard. So, yeah. So Donkey Kong Remix means Donkey Kong hard as hell. Basically what that's all about. So, but it was cool to have played one.
Kaizo Kong.
That would be a good alternate name for it, but that's, yeah, that's what it is. All right, anyhow. Let's see, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says that D.Va got introduced in Heroes of the Storm when the Officer D.Va skin got introduced into Overwatch. Oh, that was a few months ago. I guess I've just been kind of out of it. Oh, yeah, Bobby Blackwolf reminds me. We did play Pac-Man Versus, because he has the Namco thing on the Switch, and then I downloaded that app that lets you play Pac-Man Versus, so we played that on the Switch. That was fun. I liked that. That was a good party game. So, I mean, it's a bummer we didn't get to play it with more people, because it was just Bobby and I and then, like, two computer ghosts, so it wasn't as thrilling as I'm sure a room full of people is, but we had fun. It was a fun game. So,
cool.
All right. We're going to move on to some other announcements, such as please follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook at Orange Lounge Radio. As far as upcoming shows off, I can't think of any. I think we're going to be here for the foreseeable future. We'll probably take something off around the holiday, but no more conventions or anything like that. Sadly, I'm not even going to go to MAGFest this next year, sadly. And it's nothing against MAGFest. They're great. I just
go to DragCon with me next year.
I'd love to actually go to that at some point. I have no more time off work after everything that happened over the summer. I burned all my time off, so I have to make some cutbacks. I had to take the time off to go to Dragon Con. I had to take that unpaid. Mm. So, but it was worth it. It was totally worth it.
I'm quitting WoW.
You're quitting WoW?
Yeah, no one plays anymore, and yeah,
it's true.
Not fun playing by myself.
What about trying to find a new posse to play with? Like, I bet there's some great like-minded gamers out there. Well, see, here's the bummer. I would say talk to the ladies from Girls Gone WoW, right? Like Raven, EJ.
Other server.
They would. What's that?
International. They don't have an international server.
That's the problem. They don't have an international server. Because I bet those ladies would love to have
you play.
I super
like flying around, though. if Final Fantasy XIV had flying around and not shitty, you know, leveling system, then I would go back.
You do have flying around in the later areas.
But you know, you don't have jumping off of things and extending wings and getting into places you're not supposed to go.
You do have jumping off of things with your wings in the later areas. You have to get in Heaven's Ward, but you could do it. But as
you
far
have
as
wings,
yeah, you get mounts that fly.
I don't want a flying mount. I want like demon hunter powers.
Oh, that type of stuff.
Because demon hunters are fucking fun.
No, then no, you don't have that in Final Fantasy.
Demon hunters are fucking fun.
You need to. I know you don't like first person shooters, but in Overwatch. Mercy's
made me nauseously sick.
Oh, that's a bummer, because Mercy's getting a new ability that's going to let her fly around anywhere, and it's fun to play with and go to places you're not supposed to go to on the public trail.
Still not nauseously sick.
That's a bummer. Sorry to hear that. They should consider a third person mode that might help with that. But for whatever,
if it was third person, I could probably have no problem playing it.
See, and I wouldn't think it would be that hard to implement, because you can spectate other people. Maybe there is a way to do it, and I just don't know. Maybe our chatters know over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. I'm also looking at our chat.
Oh, I remembered what other games we played.
Yeah, go ahead before we get into news.
We played. We broke out the Neo Geo.
Oh, yeah. I saw some of your pictures.
And played Samurai Showdown 2. Well, ours is a Japanese one, so Samurai Spirits 2. Mm-hmm. And the first Samurai Showdown. And I think some Magician Lord. So we played the Neo Geo. With the huge cartridges the size of someone's head. At least a small child's head.
About a little bigger than a baby.
A little bigger than a baby.
All right. Let's get into some gaming news. And there's a lot of controversial stuff this week, guys. I guess this was the week where everything blew up. So brace yourselves. But we're gonna be tactful as we dive into the controversy tonight, starting with this whopper, right, Logie?
So South Park Fractured Red Hole is gonna be coming out, I'm thinking, next year now. And so they've been doing some like kind of gaming preview.
It's actually in 6 weeks. If I remember right, it's like six, like end of October, isn't it?
I thought it got delayed. No, I thought it got delayed.
I will look into that just so we are accurate, but I thought it had been delayed to this holiday.
Because
it
was one I was looking forward to. Oh, maybe I'm thinking that. I don't know. I know it was one I was looking forward to, so maybe hopefully it's coming out soon. But
it is, yeah, worldwide October 17th. That's what
Hooray!
I thought.
You're
getting, yeah, you got confused because it was delayed from last year all the way. Yeah,
it wouldn't be surprised if it was delayed again.
It's fair. It's fair.
But yes, so should be coming out soon. And of course, they're doing, you know, with that the whole media blitz thing where they're gameplay previews and stuff. And so one of the very beginning parts of the game is creating your character. And so like. Unlike, actually, the first South Park game, you can actually play as a girl or even a transgendered person in this one. But there is a portion of the game where it's asking you to pick your skin color. And it says, with that, you know, it's also your game difficulty. And what Cartman says, he actually makes a comment. He says, don't worry, this doesn't actually affect combat. It's just every other aspect of your whole life, which I think is kind of funny.
So it's actually a pretty good commentary.
To be crystal clear, the easy mode, you have light skin. The difficult mode, you have dark skin.
Now,
just in case that wasn't
it's
clear.
Basically, the way that's going to work is it's the amount of money that you get from, you know, different events and also how characters treat you in the game. So there could be some hilarious, you know, South Park stuff, you know, with the police, I'm sure, you know, like the whole Michael Jackson episode.
Well, you know, go ahead, Darsyra.
I honestly think that it's not in there to be crass per se, but it's in there as part of, I think, commentary on current society. But they're also, though, I mean, they also have it in there where you can be a transgender character.
I was going to say, yeah, after picking your skin color, you meet with Mr. Mackey, who he asks you about your gender identification, so that includes male, female, or other. And then even after choosing one of those, you can specify if you're cisgender or transgender. And I guess he calls your parents to confirm all that stuff as well, because they kind of played back to the joke, you know, because the original game all you could be is a boy in there.
Yeah.
And so they're like, that's so weird, you know, we thought this whole time that you were a boy. I mean, it's just like kind of funny.
Okay, I got you.
I watched the scene where a person picked a cisgender female. It's like, you mean you knew she was a girl the whole time? Yes. Okay. It was pretty funny.
So here's the thing. You know what? I'm gonna admit my gut reaction when I saw that whole like difficulty slider thing. I was like, wow, that's fucked up. But then I was like, it's really fucked up in real life too. So that was. That was pretty much my reaction to the, you know, South Park doesn't really shy away from that type of stuff. But, and let me go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, because Kaijudo in our chat. See, here's the part where I'm having difficulty, because I'm not black, neither is Loki, neither is Darsyra, but I know many of you, we have many different colors out there that listen to the show, which is awesome. And Kaijudo in chat says, I'm black and I find that hilarious and true. What's the controversy? Well, from what, you know, because I haven't said a lot on this, I've just been trying to read what other people have to say on this. Some of what I'm seeing on Twitter from people of color, just some of what I've seen, you know, retweeted in my timeline and stuff. Some of the negative I'm seeing is that the life experiences, and I'm going to try to summarize best I can here, so I'm sorry if I'm misrepresenting it, but the life experiences and the things that I've gone through are not a joke. Like, this is not something to be belittled by a game type of thing.
I don't know that it's in there as a joke.
But, like, even if it is a joke, I don't think, you know, I get it that you're offended by it. And great, you can be offended by that. Mm-hmm. But they make fun of everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Everybody. Everything is a joke. Everything. So, yeah, you'll be offended by this thing. And then the next thing they do, someone else is going to be offended by that. It's, I mean, what, they had abortion jokes in the last game. I mean, there's all sorts of...
I'm offended that sixth graders are bad guys.
There's all sorts of like jokes that are it's offensive. And yes, it's okay to be offended. It's not okay for you to expect them to change the game because you're offended by it.
I think, you know, it's for me and, you know, kind of trying to think about this and process those sort of responses and try to weigh, like, you know, the negatives that I am hearing as well as, like, the positives from people of color that, like, you know, like Kaijuda just said in chat, like, what's the problem? This is, you know, funny or whatever. And what I'm trying to weigh with that is that it kind of goes back to, in my mind, this whole video games are art type of thing, right? And we've, you know, speaking of controversy, that's been one of the age-old controversy in the video game community. Are video games art? Well, art is meant to provoke response. So I would say in some ways, you know, this whole conversation that's happening right now is in a way, and some people are gonna, you know, but this is just honestly where my gut is going with this, is that this whole conversation we're having right now just kind of proves the fact that video games are art, and the art may not be making a statement that you like, but it's making a statement, and it is a reflection on, and art is a reflection on culture, and it is definitely a reflection on culture, be it a very sassy one, but it's, you know, there's a lot of serious fucking shit out there and reasons why there's things that exist like Black Lives Matter and so forth.
And to an extent, I wonder why some people get offended about things that don't necessarily affect them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I'm gonna call it like I see it. I see it all the time on Tumblr. Not to say everybody on Tumblr is bad. That's not what I'm saying. But you get that stuff where like, what was that post? Oh, some post that made its way onto like a Facebook screen cap where somebody retweeted a picture of a little girl doing a Japanese tea ceremony, and one Tumblr user was like, this is so effed up and it's cultural appropriation, da da da. And then a person in Japan responded mm-hmm. to that saying, actually, we love it type of thing. Kind of similar with the Mexico and Mario Odyssey thing with a sombrero. It's like, actually, we kind of like it.
I will rather go on a limb and say, though, that there is a very, very, very long history of Japanese culture adopting things from surrounding areas and making it something uniquely Japanese. So I would think that seeing other countries do that may not be such a big deal, you know. That being said, what offended me is that, number one, the kimono was wrong. It was done wrong.
All right, I'm going to go to our chat because I do see
I was trying to make a joke. And no. Oh.
I wasn't sure, Darksakura. Some things, I don't know. All right. In our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says this, and I think that this is a fair response. Bobby Blackwolf says, controversy is this. A black person who wants to play a character that looks like them has to either deal with the harder difficulty or play someone who doesn't look like them. That's why some people are upset.
But it's not everything. Like, it's just like money payouts in the game. And yes, I get that.
Yeah, I mean, I get that perspective.
It's kind of annoying.
It would be nice if maybe after they make the point, then there's like something where it's like, press square to change, you know, and you know, maybe like after they make their point, you can actually
tweak it.
Because
I know the combat, you can tweak how difficult the combat is.
Yeah.
And like you can make that easier or harder depending on, and you can keep changing that throughout the game.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, like honestly playing the game and like last time with the money and stuff, I don't think you ever run into a problem with, it's probably just going to be very minor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of like, haha, it's like a silly thing that we did.
Some of the controversial dialogue.
But hey, one positive I was going to mention is they mentioned that the game is not going to be censored in any country, unlike it was last time.
Oh.
With the whole anal probing stuff. Hmm. They're not going to censor it in any country.
So Australia is probably not going to sell it.
So it's going to be exactly, you know, as it is in all countries.
Much love to our Australian listeners, but you know that there's games that get censored there all the time. So anyway, Mortal Kombat and all that. All right. Anyway.
I also would like to go out on a limb, if I may.
Yeah.
Where people talk about issues of appropriation and mm-hmm. things like that mm-hmm. and trying to, like in the case of the game, you know, taking something that's going on in real life and making it an undisputable, undeniable factor. I think the thing that people need to realize is that, I'm trying to figure out how to say this the right way.
Sure.
that everyone is going to borrow from everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of having multiple cultures in one place.
Well, yeah, when you live in a melting pot like America, things are going to melt. You know, and yes, I realize there's a lot going on a much higher level and stuff that, you know, makes you wonder sometimes if America really is a melting pot. But I think there's a lot of us that love that part about America.
Well, SSJ100, Matt makes a good phrase in here. In the last game, you could pick a Jew class. Mm-hmm. It changed the way the game was played. And you also got different payouts and story and stuff. Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yeah.
You know, I think that maybe we might need a little bit more of these things, desensitizing people a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, bringing those things to light instead of putting it in a convenient package that we can get offended about for 5 seconds, mm-hmm. argue on the internet, and then conveniently put aside in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the big thing, is that we are so enamored with that moment of being the right one, being right, you know? That after a while, it becomes the focus instead of actually going out there and doing good. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad it's in the game. I'm glad it's bringing attention to things that people should be talking about instead of just putting on the back burner.
All right. And you know what? I invite other responses out there too. Like I said, I think on a topic like this, I'm just kind of trying to listen to the different perspectives and, you know, interpret the art that way. So I certainly invite all the feedback. If you don't feel like your point was represented here tonight, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Come on up to the table. Like I said earlier, it's a big diner table, and let's hear from all those different perspectives. In the meantime, though, I'd like to move on with some more gaming news because it is only a 3-hour show. So let's talk about something going on the Nintendo Switch. And this is controversial in a much different way, but literally a gaming controversy, really. Here's the deal is that, you know, I think a lot of people were drawn to the whole cartridge idea of the Switch because, oh, well, then I'm not going to really, you know, it's okay if there's only 32 gigs of storage or whatever it is on the Switch because I can get stuff on cartridges and it's not really taking up memory. And, you know, it's different, right? When you had an old school Super Nintendo, you didn't have to have a cartridge based, or I mean, you didn't have to have any type of like onboard storage or anything like that, right? So anyhow, excuse me. Well, it turns out that may not be the case. And I want to thank our Discord for submitting this to us. If you want to join our Discord server and bounce us ideas throughout the week, you can. VogNetwork.com/Discord will get you an invite. It's an open server. I think it was Dungeon Buster that submitted this. And I'm sorry if I get this wrong. So anyway, in the future, some Switch games are going to require you to actually own a micro SD card in order to play. NBA 2K18 is going to be the first game that's going to require that additional storage to be present. So, yep, you can't actually fit all of NBA 2K18 onto just the cartridge. You're going to have to actually install some of it to the extra micro SD card, your storage card. Here's the deal. A portion of the title will be available outside the box, but you, I guess, slowly download the rest of it while you're actually playing. A representative for Nintendo of America actually said in a quote that, yes, a micro SD card will be needed for certain Nintendo Switch games that contain an especially large amount of content and require additional storage for players to enjoy the full experience. If you purchase a physical version of a game that requires an additional micro SD memory card, you'll be able to play a portion of the game right out of the box, specific levels or mode. To enjoy the full game, downloading additional data is required. So, apparently cartridges won't hold the whole game sometimes.
Oh, I'm sure they would, but they just have to pay for more expensive cartridges that hold more data. God forbid we do that, because then that would cut into our margin.
Yeah.
Maybe this optical media stuff was... Maybe that's why they do it, because it's so fucking cheap. Could... Gee, why is the whole industry doing that? I don't fucking know why.
Well, but to be fair, in a portable environment, I mean, it worked all right on the PSP, I guess, but maybe optimal reading and stuff isn't. I mean, even the Vita used cartridges for a reason, so maybe optical discs and things weren't really the best in a portable environment. I mean, I don't know. I guess the PSP worked okay, but I'm sure even it had its limitations, and you could make it skip if you shook it hard enough. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I'm just saying, Logie, in that regard, for the PSP, Switch, it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the PSP, those I don't think were that easy to duplicate as well.
Well, here's what it is, Loki. Let's be real. Here's what it is. This is more a commentary on the fact that Nintendo's default out of the box on storage space is way too small.
Exactly.
That's the real problem.
Was it 32 gigs?
Uh-huh.
Because 32 gigs was fucking too small on the Wii U, and it's still fucking too small with this shit. That's just ridiculous.
But never fear, Loki. There'll be the 2018 model of the Switch that comes in neon red and fluorescent green, and it comes with 128 gigs of storage.
Oh, fuck no. It'll come with like 64 gigabytes of storage or like 48 gigabytes or something stupid.
Now, SSG 100 Matt kind of throwing it back a little bit, saying, I remember sports games dating back to the Dreamcast days required that you played with a memory card. You wouldn't be able to continue without having a memory card inserted. Well, I mean, you missed a lot on the Dreamcast without those awesome little VMU things, which, by the way, happy birthday, Dreamcast, because yesterday, 99, you know, all the way back to 9999 was the Dreamcast birthday. But you would miss out on stuff without those little VMUs.
Well, it's also, I think that was more of like cache and stuff, because that was the only storage that there was on that system.
Yes.
So if you
I kind of always felt we had Tamagotchi to thank a little bit for that, that it was kind of, Darkstalkers just gave me the biggest no face in the world, but I kind of feel like that was in a way from that, you know? No, you don't agree?
Not at all.
All right, what's your take on it?
I think that they wanted something that was going to make the system more unique and offer more interactive type of play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because things like that had existed for years anyway, having the little, you know, digital toys. I mean, if you want to go really, I would probably put the origin more in those little Tiger toys or the Game & Watch. So we're looking much further back.
And Akuma JP correcting my pronunciation, Tamagotchi. I think we got spoiled here in the USA in Tamagotchi, not because of the whole like stupid American thing, but like gotcha was really ingrained in the culture with Pokemon and all that stuff. So I think a lot of people would say gotcha as opposed, like, you know, because that's what we kind of knew with Pokemon. Anyway, I'm just excusing my ignorance, sorry. But Tamagotchi,
and it's so
what the name it would be a portmanteau, Tamago for egg, and now my brain just forgot.
Chi
Tamagotchi.
Oh.
As in friend.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
It's an egg friend.
Oh, okay. See, I actually didn't know that. Okay.
And I'm sure that they had no idea from the get-go that this would be an issue, and that's why it's never been mentioned up until this point that this was going to be a necessity. It's funny how after everyone's purchased those systems, oh, by the way, this isn't going to work exactly how you thought. Oh, and this. Oh, and that. Oh, and that one other thing, too. Yeah.
Have you heard some of the rumors about Nintendo having... I know this isn't on the show, but have you heard some of the rumors about Nintendo having a Direct this week? Have you seen some of that?
I don't fucking care.
Well, because Apple's doing a thing this week, so, you know, where Apple goes, Nintendo must follow.
Cool. Are they going to blow them on stage? Because, I mean, seriously, I don't fucking care at this point.
Well, actually, don't count it out. Nintendo has shown up on the Apple stage before when they did Super Mario Run, and we know Nintendo's cooking a Zelda game and an Animal Crossing game. So... it is possible that Nintendo could come out and blow Tim Cook.
Fully look forward to that Zelda game. I'm sure that's going to be fucking fantastic.
Knock it until you tried it.
No, I'm not saying that it's not possible for them to do a Zelda game like that. Because like I said, you know, the DS Zelda games were pretty good. And you could do those with mostly just the touchscreen. So it had a good control system for that. However, I feel that they're going to be tempted by the current, you know, mobile game scene, and you're going to get like a tapper game or some shit like that. It's going to be like, well, that's not what I wanted.
I would rather they give us a tapper game than try to bring Breath of the Wild to the phone, because like you're not going to be able to control that with a phone. I'm sorry. I would rather it just be a fucking tapper game if that's, you know,
throw
Nintendo's
the phone
way.
To throw the boomerang or.
All right. Look, we're getting away from the point. So Apple's doing a thing on Tuesday. We all know they're expected to announce phones. That's what all the rumors say, which is good news for me because I'm ready to upgrade from my 6. So I eagerly anticipate what they're going to say. But anyway, Nintendo is rumored to do one on Wednesday. Now, some people are kind of taking the ball and running with it and saying, oh, this is when they're going to announce Netflix and all the other things that we've been waiting for.
We're bringing Netflix to consoles for the first time ever. It's never been done ever before.
Well, okay.
On this console.
Loki, you joke, But Nintendo, and I've said this before on the show, because and when we went back to is it a big deal that Netflix is on it or not, I said this in the beginning. I think, yes, Nintendo can make a huge argument that with certain Netflix shows, because you know you can download a good chunk of Netflix library, right? You can start watching it on TV and then, oh, I got to make the bus. Click. Little snap, and then I'm going to pick it up and watch it on the go and continue my Netflix without an internet connection because it's been downloading in the background as I'm watching it. Like, yes, Nintendo could say, this is an experience you can't really do right now.
Except on my phone that I have in my pocket that I can do the exact thing.
Yes, but they, you know, the whole pick it up and go.
But, you know,
there's a twist to it.
But my phone certainly doesn't have 32 gigabytes worth of storage. I mean, it's just a phone. You can't possibly fit that much data into a phone. It's clearly this console's the only thing that could do that. It's just how about you just, instead of fucking announcing Netflix, which really should have been there from the get-go, how about you announce all the fucking shit that also should have been there from the get-go?
Virtual console.
A web browser. Does that thing even fucking have a web browser?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you think the eShop works?
Yes, but can you actually use a web browser on it?
My understanding is it's been hacked because the eShop – or no, the network – okay, the network thing has – okay, because like when I wanted to log into the Wi-Fi at the hotel during Dragon Con to do Splatfest, it actually – because the hotel Wi-Fi, you have to log into that, right? Because you have to put in either the passphrase or your last name and your room number to use hotel Wi-Fi, right? So believe it or not, you try to connect to the network. The Switch is smart enough, which not all game systems in the past are smart enough. It pops up a browser window, and it has the Hyatt's little screen. Please put in your information, da-da-da-da-da, and all that. And then it closes it, and you're connected to the internet. So, yes, there is a web browser. And my understanding is people have kind of backdoored that because what you do is you use that same trick – except the web page that you put on your personal network that you present is whatever website you're really trying to get on the Switch, which could be a Flash game. You know, or I don't know if it's Flash game, but, you know, like games or something else. So that's
okay, so it doesn't have a web browser that you can just click an icon and it works. Okay.
No, but yes. Is there a web browser in there? Yes. Can you use it? Not really.
That's fucking makes sense. That makes all the sense in the world. I mean... in hell, I swear. Whatever. You know what?
SSJ100 Matt says, can you use the web browser for porn? I'm asking for a friend. All right.
Of course. It views images, of course.
Let's be real. Nintendo needs to just have the real talk. All right? Nintendo needs to have the real talk and give the gamers what they really want. All right? Here's what needs to happen. Excuse me. Reggie Fils-Aimé needs to do a special 10 o'clock at night Nintendo Direct. Okay? He's going to come out on this Nintendo Direct and say, listen, guys... I know what it is you really want out of your web browser. I know what it is you really want out of your consoles. We're going to give you all the porn you want. And here's his...
Call the web browser.
The Nintendo Switch. What you do is it's going to jack into sites such as Pornhub. Okay, the new Pornhub app for the Nintendo Switch. So you can stop...
It's the new Miiverse, but it's...
You can start
the
watching...
The Weverse.
Yeah, the Weeverse. So you can start watching pornography on the big screen, but then when you hear the garage door open that somebody's coming home, just take it off and take it back into your bedroom and finish what you started. I got you guys. Love Reggie Fils-Aimé.
But in order to do that, you have to have a separate phone.
They would sell billions.
You'd have to have a separate phone app and fucking like all the tethering cables possible. They would still find a way to fuck that up. They would still find a way. But seriously, though, like...
JD in chat says, so Rob, phones plus a Chromecast can pretty much already do this. Well, you know what? Some people are going to do it just because it's Nintendo. Let's be real.
Now, they were cutting edge with, you know, the 3D technology because you could view 3D porn on the 3DS, which is kind of cool.
Yes, you could.
I mean, granted, it was just very low-res pictures in 3D, but it
I
was
think,
3D.
I think I saw a blurry tit.
They kind of poked out a little.
Yeah, a little bit.
But no, seriously, they just need to announce what the hell their fucking virtual console plans are because right now, when the hell is that launching? Do we even know?
No.
Nope.
And I would say, again, I am ready to accept the fact that virtual console, my quotey fingers this time around, is GameCube games and maybe Nintendo Wii and Wii U stuff. That's mostly Nintendo Wii stuff.
They should just fucking make a stupid, like, fuck this NES Classic bullshit, the NES, you know, the Super NES Classic. Just make a virtual console. Done. You plug it in your TV, you download all that shit. Because that's basically what it is anyway.
Here's what really... Okay, so we've been talking for like 5 minutes about a rumored Nintendo Direct. We don't even know if it's happening or not. Here's the thing, guys. Lower them expectations. Lower them, y'all, because Mario Odyssey, they got to get the pre-orders in for that. So I would bet if they're having a Direct, it's an expanded look at Mario Odyssey.
Oh, it's going to be another fucking amiibo.
There's a Metroid game out on Friday. Did you hear? So maybe it's going to be an extended look at the new Metroid game, which, by the way, I think you all would want to know. I pre-ordered that Samus 3DS XL.
Yeah, you said that last week.
No, you ordered it.
I ordered it and already gave them money, yes. All right, anyhow.
I just gave Rob my best smart-ass smile.
Yeah, I see that a lot from you. All right, let's move on. Dark Soccer, why don't you give us a story then, and I'll be a smart-ass to you.
Speaking of other unnecessary prefixes, I'm only going to use the word once, and then I will no longer use it so that you know what I'm referring to. Microtransactions. Because they are a transaction. You don't need to quantify them with how big they are.
If I buy penny candy, is that a microtransaction?
No.
But I'm only spending pennies.
No. That is just a transaction.
Okay.
Transactions are not necessarily quantifiable. Except by the actual amount that you've spent on it. Anyway, so Destiny fans are pissed. What else is new? They brought about this, you know, in-game stuff that you could buy for the original Destiny. And so they're bringing it back for Destiny 2, but this one is even worse, I think. They're selling shaders that you can change the color of your armor. In the original game, when the shaders were unlocked, you could have them across all of your characters and then delete them and pick them up later. But in Destiny 2, shaders are one-time use. They're a consumable. You would be spending money for a consumable that you will never have access to again. Real money for shit you can't use again. I will leave that there. The only way you'd ever be able to get another one is either with like a blind loot box, again, that you can get with real money, or buy them straight up. So yeah, stupid. And there are people who love to make their armor look a certain way, so they would be buying it. You can earn them through leveling and chests and whatnot, but yeah, people, it's just,
well,
dumb.
it's also the fact that in the first game it operated a lot differently than it does in this game. That's what's really cheesing people, it sounds like. Now, granted, I haven't played Destiny 2 yet. I've been hearing, actually, outside of this controversy, I'm hearing a lot of good things about Destiny 2, and I'm really excited to check it out. My only issue is that I've already decided I want to get it on PC so I can keyboard and mouse it up, but the PC release is a few weeks away. It's the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, no Destiny for me. Excuse me, yet. I did play, I didn't talk about it in my game movie. I played like 20 minutes of the beta on PC because, you know, the PC beta was like the night before my flight to Dragon Con at 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I played like 20, I downloaded like 14 gigs to play for 20 minutes. And I did enjoy my 20 minutes of Destiny 2.
Also, I have to say that I had the same thought that Bobby did just from my rendering classes. He said, when I first read the story, I thought shaders was in the game development term for how your light sources get shaded. And I was like, wait, you're paying for light source effects. No. And I was like, that was the first thing that I thought of, yeah. But it's more like color.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know how World of Warcraft, you get a piece of armor from this dungeon, a piece of armor from that dungeon, and you look like a thrift store nightmare, right? Like you're mismatched all over the place, right? Well, because of transmogrification, some of that you can fix that.
No, now everyone's got particular sets. And you can still make the sets look like they match. They just give you a particular type for your body type that will have different colors applied to it.
Well, in a nutshell, imagine that wasn't the case and you still had mismatched stuff. A shader will let you just dye it all matching colors and stuff like right off the bat. And usually they are shinier colors than what you might see natively.
And I think I didn't play the original game, but isn't the original game like the shader was used for like everything? Wasn't it the full set or was it per piece?
From what I recall, you did the whole set. Like, okay. Once you unlocked it, you had it.
Yeah,
you could use it on
the
anything.
Whole set, yeah. And you can use it as many times as you want. So yep. If you upgraded your armor, you can just change it again and all that stuff. Now you have to use it per piece. Yep. It's you can't change it out. It's basically once you've used it, it's gone. It's a consumable. And then on top of that, the only way to get it is through these loot boxes that you have to pay real money for. And I guess you get some of them in the game. But that's not even really the whole thing that people are getting pissed off. People are also getting pissed off that there's mods in here. And the mods basically grant you abilities to help you play better. And so, in a sense, it's kind of pay to win. Because, obviously, someone that has more disposable income and spends money on this are going to have better mods or more mods to be able to be more competitive in a PvP scenario. So, yeah.
All right, well, I can see why people are irritated, but we'll see. Blizzard and Activision, I know Blizzard's not the makers of Destiny 2, it's Bungie, but because there's the PC release and it's on...
But Activision's been known to throw in loot boxes and shit in the game
yes,
that don't fucking
well,
need them.
EA started that, but I think they might listen to some of the feedback. We'll see. I mean, I don't think they're going to do a 180 on the system, but they've been pretty good at listening to feedback.
They won't listen to the feedback because they've already made a comment on it regarding the thing. And so their comment was, well, no one's complaining about it. It's just, it's just appearances. And, anyways, you're going to be swimming in those shaders, so it's not a big deal. That was basically their comment. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But
all right, let's move on.
All right. So Blizzard is building their own esports arena. So, of course, StarCraft is pretty popular in the esports realm, and of course, Hearthstorm, and pretty much a lot of their line, of games, Overwatch, and all that. So now they're going to be creating, I guess, the Blizzard Arena Los Angeles, which is going to be located in Burbank Studios. It's going to be one of the first arenas in the U.S. built specifically with esports in mind, and they're going to actually open it up not too long from now, October 7th. And that's going to launch with the Overwatch Contender Season 1 playoffs. So
are we going to go take a tour? Go see something there? Go see a show?
I'm not. I'm not driving down there. I'll just take the word for it.
We could go to Disneyland while we're there. Why not?
Nah, that's cool.
All right.
A virtual tour.
Moving on. In news that will surprise absolutely no one, and just... Loki, I already know what you're going to say. We don't need to relive this every week.
All right.
But look, here's the thing. I'm just going to get it out there. So Nintendo Switch, it's selling really well. Of course, we all know that. And good old Reggie Fils-Aimé made a comment this week in an interview with Variety talking about supply for this holiday. certainly the demand is there. And our supply chain is there. Are we going to have enough for the holiday? That's what we're focused on. Which was said in a way that makes it sound like it could actually be a challenge. So, you may still have a problem getting enough of those on the shelves during the holidays. Now, to be fair, he didn't come out and say we're going to have challenges during the holidays, but the phrasing he kind of chose made it sound like that he's not ready to guarantee it either.
Well, he's preparing people for that inevitability. I'll be hopeful and hope that they do have enough supply, but at this point, it's like, right. I mean, I can't even be surprised by this. It's like how do you not get this yet? How do you not coordinate this stuff?
Here we go.
No, I'm just shocked. I'm not like mad even. I'm just like bewildered. Like, how is it that a company can't prepare like this? This part of the year is coming, yet somehow we just can't do it. Then, okay, my God, then maybe, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I'm just going to send Nintendo my thoughts and prayers and see if that's as useful as this same thing that they've been pulling for 20 years. I'm thoughts and prayers for Nintendo.
It's like
this holiday season.
I mean, seriously, it seems intentional
Girl.
At this point. I mean, they're either the most inept company when it comes to supply issues, or they're doing it on purpose. I mean, because really, that's really the only two options that there are right now. Because, like, how can you consistently not be prepared this many years in a row? I mean, how many years has this been going on for? Several years, almost a decade, if not more. Like, how is it that you're just so ill-prepared for this? It's got to be fucking intentional. It's got to be at this point. There's no way that they're this dumb.
Prove it's not, Reggie.
It's seriously, it's like, I don't want to feel that they're like this vindictive company that's purposely doing this, but like going, I don't know. We'll certainly give it our, we'll give it a college try. I mean, like, my God.
Bob Coffey giving the fair perspective here in chat at live.vognetwork.com saying, might not be Nintendo's fault in this case. Switch uses some of the same components smartphones use.
It's never their fault.
And with a lot of big smartphones coming out, could be actual component shortages.
Could it be Satan?
Yes, it's Satan.
I'm going to party like it's 1994.
Because, you know, with all those component shortages, they didn't know that, you know, new phones are released every year. I mean, I'm sorry. We're not going to blame other people for Nintendo's fault. Okay, what component shortages are there that are used by smartphones that fucking Super NES Classic Editions that are using? Because those have fucking supply problems, too. We're not going to blame cell phones for this shit. What? Ouyas are going into production again and they don't have enough supply to fucking make those SNES Classic Editions? What's the excuse there?
JD in chat says it's the vegan's fault. Sorry, if Nintendo would just go vegan and tell
We've
everybody
already
about
said
it.
Satan, so I mean...
Stop it. Stop. I know some wonderful vegans in my life.
And yes, it was the church lady for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, oh no, I know
it was
the church lady for Saturday Night Live. The timing of you dropping that was immaculate and caused MXC to say, I love this show. Well, we love you all that turn out every week and listen to
you
it.
You know what else I love?
We do it for you, bro. What?
I don't know. I don't have a heart. I ripped it out and sacrificed it.
You know what else I love? What? Tell me. I don't know. I love indifference. I love uncertainty. I love not knowing things. I love
words
escaping me. Thank you. Thank you, my keyboard cat, my three keyboard cat moon shirt, if you've never seen it.
I want to get a moon shirt.
A moo-moo?
Moon.
A moon.
The stupid wolf. Moon.
Do you know I have an official Three Wolves crying at the moon shirt? Yeah, I have it somewhere in the big laundry pile in the other room.
The cat's probably sitting
there. I almost wore it to Dragon Con. That was going to be one of the outfits I was going to wear one day to Dragon Con. But then I was like, people might think I'm like not being
ironic. I saw
ironic.
Your daddy outfit.
Did you see? Oh, yeah. We didn't get to talk about that. My cosplay at Dragon Con.
I didn't even play the game and I knew what it was.
My lazy fucking cosplay. Okay, so I did end up bringing two cosplay outfits to Dragon Con. Both of them were
extremely
lazy. You're
not quite bare enough for that.
So the first one I did was I did Sami Zayn. Because everybody fucking tells me I look, especially Ranma. Is Ranma out there? Ranma? Ranma tells me I look like Sami Zayn. And some of my friends in the Bay Area, my good buddy Keth, who lives in the Bay Area, she tells me I look like Sami Zayn. So she actually went so far to buy me a shirt. You know who Sami Zayn is, Loki?
Nope.
Wrestler. A wrestler. World WWE. It's because of my hat. He wears gray cabbie hats like I do and has a red beard.
So I don't think you look like him.
Because of that, we're twinsies. So
your nose isn't as big.
Oh, well, thank you. So anyway, I wore that and I was Sami Zayn for one day. So, but then the next day on Sunday, I did Brian from Dream Daddy, who wears the green Hawaiian shirt. I had a little pet corgi that I took around with me.
But you're not quite that much of a bear.
I'm not. Well, I'm getting. I'm.
You're a little cubby.
A little. I'm not sure I want Jamie to be like gay categorizing me right now on OLR.
We're a show of non-labels, okay?
Loki.
You probably need another 100 on you.
I'm not sure whether to say thank you or not, but Loki, do you know the difference between a bear and a cub? Do you know?
I'm guessing it's size.
Yeah, or sometimes age. Sometimes age, you know. Bears are big men, usually.
Hairy.
Big, hairy men. And I'm not lacking in that department, but... Yeah, you know, I'm not big, but I got fluff and stuff a little bit.
You're still younger, gent.
Yes, I guess, but I'm 39, honey.
So,
at what age do I become a bear?
70.
JD in chat says,
"One day you'll be a daddy bear."
J- JD in chat says, we ought to move on from this topic. Stoppy says, how about a manther? I have never in my life heard manther, but I kind of love it,
maybe,
actually.
Maybe that's Rawr. Like the older gent version of the cougar.
I'm just like thinking of like, I'm picturing welcome a orange centaur with like, you know, like a
no,
panther body.
It's like the dude version of the cougar.
Very fast yet awkward.
You're Rob.
What?
You're Stifler's mom.
What? Welcome to Orange Lounge Radio. Rawr. I'm your manther in charge, Rob Roberts. Rawr.
Now Rob's a furry.
There's nothing wrong with furries.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it, but now we know your fursona.
You're the manther. But I'm not a furry. I said there's nothing wrong with furries because I was about to follow that up with, but I'm not a furry. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Rob's a manther.
The white manther.
I hate everybody. Well, it's really unfortunate that we couldn't make it to 700, but this is the end. Good night, everybody. All right, let's Good move Lord. On. Dark Soccer, why don't you tell us about another game?
A game that I am happy about and have been fucking waiting for 2 years for. Do you hear me, what, pumpkin?
Man versus Manther.
Oh, goddamn.
I'm never going to let that go now. Who said that? It's Stoppy. Stoppy should have trademarked patent pending that shit, and we'd have to owe him a quarter every time we said it, but he didn't.
So, I love my Homestuck. I still love Homestuck. I have gone back and reread part of Homestuck, even though it's like a rabbit hole that you can never get out of. It's like a singularity of the internet. Well, we have a release date for Hive Swap, which is the game that was funded with like $2 million on Kickstarter. And so it is going to be a point and click kind of adventure game that will not yell at you if you try to do these items won't work together. It has like a bajillion responses for many different things, and you can do combinations of stuff. It's supposed to be really neat, but it's going to be out on September 14th. I am going to be playing the shit out of this game. The music, though, is done by Toby Fox, as in Undertale, who also did do stuff for Homestuck. So this is going to be a Megalovania game from Homestuck.
So this is basically going to be like the capital of meme.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can play as a couple of different characters in the first part, actually, with the part one that comes out. You play as Joey Claire, who is a teen girl trapped in her room in 1994, or as Jude Harley, who is her kid brother, trapped in his treehouse. Or you can play as a couple of trolls. But what happens, basically, they get switched from planet to planet. So she goes to Alternia, which is the troll planet, and troll boys come to Earth. There you go.
And much fanfic was written.
And there was much wank and Faygo being drunk. And juggalos taking over the government. You know, a bunch of people lost their shit because of the whole juggalo march happening at the same time in Washington, D.C. as some Trump bullshit.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
But there were a lot of Homestucks that were like, oh, it happened in the comics. It's happening for real. Meh. Because it did. Because juggalos took over the government.
Whatever.
I have a reason to bust out the Ben Nye again.
JD in chat says, fanfic and wank are two sides of the same coin. That is correct. All right. Anyhow.
I might be making scale mates again.
Just a few more stories for you guys. And then the classic game of the week. Loki.
So there's been a lot of issues with Shadow of War, the new Lord of the Rings game that's going to be coming out pretty shortly. So one of that has to do, well, with this kind of commemoration of one of the producers on the game, executive producer Michael Forgey. And I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but anyways, he apparently died of cancer on March 3rd. And so with that, they were going to do this kind of memorialize him as a character in the game. So there is going to be a character called Fourth Hog, Orc Slayer, who kind of be like the, like in Fallout, they have the mysterious stranger that appears randomly and will kill your enemies for you. So he would kind of appear and, you know, kill an orc for you or something if in the game. And it was going to be offered as DLC at launch. Now, in most scenarios, you would assume that, okay, this is going to be some free DLC. This is kind of a way that they're, you know, honoring their, you know, fellow, you know, employee and stuff, friend or whatever. But then they decided that they're going to charge $4.99 for the DLC because this is fucking Warner Brothers. But, hey, that's all right because we're going to be donating $3.50 of that $4.99 to the family.
Which, to be fair, not unheard of because, like, Blizzard has done pets for WoW that are 50-50 for, like, Make-A-Wish or something like that. This isn't the first time something like that's been done. And my assumption is that $3.50 is probably the cut they get after the stores take their cut.
Right. So that's fine.
To be fair.
That's fine. However, there's fine print here, as with a lot of things. So the fine print that came under fire is, well, it's only valid actually in the United States. So except for Alabama, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Mississippi, and South Carolina. Because apparently they have laws regarding fundraising and that type of thing. And this DLC is not being sold just in the U.S. It's being sold worldwide. Mm-hmm. So they didn't come out and say that, oh, we're going to donate all the proceeds from, like, worldwide sales. It's only for the sales that are in the U.S. in these states that are not listed on this fine print. So in a sense, they are profiting from a dead person.
Okay, but didn't they come out on Twitter and say that's not, like, that they are not making any money off of this?
They said neither Warner Brothers Interactive nor Monolith will profit from any sales of Fort Hog, the Orc Slayer DLC, regardless of the territory in which the DLC is sold.
So why can't we take that at face value? Why are we saying, oh, they're profiting off? Why can't we just say, okay, they can't advertise in these states because, and you can't, yes, it is based off a law. And I was, when I saw this original story, I was kind of floored that the law was not referenced in the story. But there is, it's not hard to Google. You just Google those state names and charity law. And there is a charity law that says some states require what's called a CCV, which is this whole split, basically, raising, to register with the state. Alabama, Massachusetts, specifically, require bonds in the amounts of $10,000 and $25,000, respectively. So in Massachusetts, they would have to post a bond for $25,000 to even do this fundraiser.
Why don't they just do it in the way that we're going to match the sales mm-hmm. of these DLCs in donation? That way it's not tied to it. It's just them independently doing it. You know, and then they can do that with any state. That would have been a way to get around that, I would think.
Or just they're going to donate the money anyway. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They just can't advertise it in these states. They're doing what they're doing in these states to keep themselves in the clear legally.
Or how about just
having to post this bond?
How about just not fucking charge for it in the first place and just open up? Hey,
well,
we want to, you know, we want to do something, you know, for this guy. We've opened up, you know, a GoFundMe or something like that, and you guys can donate to that.
The idea of charity fundraisers in games through sales has kind of been done, like I said, in Warcraft, and there's other MMOs too.
But it's
too.
Never been, like, controversial like this, though. That's the thing. And I'll tell
well,
you why.
Well, but in Blizzard, yeah, because some people were like, why only 50% going to Make-A-Wish? Why is Blizzard keeping or Activision or whatever keeping the other 50%? So, I mean, it was
other than paying their designers and programmers.
Now,
well, it's the same with, like, Humble Bundle. Only a portion of that goes to these charities.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could set it to be, like, the full thing, but
now, granted, there is also a difference between just general charity, like, in the sense of Make-A-Wish or whatever. This is money that they weren't, quote-unquote, expecting or relying on or anything like mm-hmm. that. This is, like, it is literally a charitable donation. But in this other case, like you said, you have somebody who's passed that it might kind of, I don't want to say put a damper on the person's memory, but I think that's kind of the conclusion
and
we're
I
getting
think
to here.
Also, here's the other reason why it's kind of skewing against them is because this is a game that everybody was looking forward to. And then before this whole announcement, because this is like the third announcement that they've made regarding this game, the first one was, oh, hey, by the way, you know that great single-player game that you have? We're fucking putting in loot boxes, bitches. Mm. We're fucking putting in loot boxes. And guess what? It's not just cosmetic shit. It's fucking orcs and stuff. Stuff that you can get the game, basically pay to win. Oh, but don't worry. It's not really pay to win because it's a single-player game. Oh, but we got a multiplayer portion as well that you can use all this shit that you unlocked in your loot boxes. And it's fucking like the whole Metal Gear Solid thing where they had, you know, the bases that you would basically would be online. And if they got attacked, you could lose some of this stuff. So it's basically this churning cycle of bullshit because of their fucking loot boxes. Once again, a loot box that didn't need to be in the game. Oh, and then, by the way, we're going to do also a fucking, you know, thing with Totino's Pizza Rolls because, sure, let's just do that and you can get codes and unlock shit. And it's so it's all that greedy shit up front that's been in the headlines for the last few weeks. And then this is like the fucking, you know, the end of it. They announce this shit. And it's like, really? I mean, you're charging for it? What the fuck? I mean, it's a big mess. I think there's better ways they could have done it, and it doesn't help that this bullshit about their whole loot box and DLC shit came out way before all this happened.
Okay, you know you're getting comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Stoppy says, in that case, with what you're saying, why do we need the DLC at all? Why can't gamers be generous to someone without expecting DLC in return?
Exactly. I don't think they even need to. Just say, hey, you know what? We feel bad for this guy and his family. We want to help out. If you want to help out, you know, and you enjoy this game, you know, think about, you know, donating to, you know, his family through this, you know, thing. This is how you can donate. They could have done that through a blog post. Done. There's nothing that they need to do. And then later on, if they wanted to, you know, because we really love this guy, we want to memorialize him, you know, we can put him in the game. Like, for example, all those people that, like, played, you know, in World of Warcraft and stuff that were hardcore to that, and there's a few that died and became characters in the game. They didn't fucking charge for DLC for that character. It was just something that they put in the game.
A lot of them are NPCs and statues.
Exactly. They're just NPCs or something. Like, why did it have to be this big old playable character thing that you invested money on? Just, like, why can't you do something nice to be nice instead of fucking charging for it? Like, we'll assume that your intentions were noble, but it just doesn't look good after, you know, you're asking people to pay for money that shit was free before. I don't know. It just doesn't look good.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I probably wouldn't have donated straight like that for someone I never met, but I probably would buy DLC like this. So, you know, another perspective. All right. Anyway, in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and move on because we're already – how far into the show are we? Like an hour and a half into the show. We're not even done with part A. So in the interest of time, I'm going to move on. And I want to talk quickly about this one more here. Another story that was submitted from our Discord server about the Nintendo Wii. Yes, that system from 2006 apparently has infringed a Dallas inventor's patent, and a jury has awarded $10.1 million to this Dallas medical motion detection company. iLife is the name of the company who sued Nintendo in 2013 after they filed lawsuits in 2012 against four other companies. It did go to trial in Dallas, and the verdict found that Nintendo did infringe on the patent first filed in 1999, describing systems and methods for evaluating movement of a body relative to an environment. This $10.1 million was less than 10% of what iLife's attorneys were asking for. They wanted $144 million. That was how much the lawsuit was basically for at this point. And, of course, Nintendo has said it will appeal the verdict. The company told Glixel, which is Rolling Stone's video game arm, Nintendo disagrees with the decision as Nintendo does not infringe iLife's patent, and the patent is invalid. Nintendo looks forward to raising those issues with the district court and with the Court of Appeals. So don't expect Nintendo to write a check just yet, but it is sure fascinating that the system came out over 10 years ago, and here we are still arguing over patents.
I don't know the details of that patent, but just sounding like it sounds like one of those patent troll patents that they have, you know, just, I don't know. It, to me, and I know like in Texas, there's a certain districts in there. I don't think this is one of them that a lot of these patent troll cases go to.
Yeah,
and
I heard
it
a lot go to Texas.
It sounds fishy, but whatever. They're going to write it out until they get, you know, they've got more money than this dude does, I'm sure.
Yep.
So
yep.
Just bleed them dry.
They'll write it out, and I think it just more goes to show that
and if
we
it
need
wasn't
to look at the
for
way
that
work.
Case, we would have had enough switches for holiday. God damn it.
Yeah, technically that technology existed in the Wii U as well, didn't it? So, anyway, let's go back to a simpler time when patent trolls didn't exist. Okay, maybe they did, but I just like to think they didn't. It's a simpler time when Darkstalker is going to walk into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you little brats, stop swinging your Wii around and come play this game. Hey, come into the sewer grate over here. I got a game for you to play. It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week this week?
Excalibur 2097. And the whole reason I picked this is because I went on like a 90s music rampage and was listening to a lot of Psychosonic. Which, I loved Psychosonic a whole lot when I was in early college. And they did the soundtrack for the American version of this game. So in Japan, it was called Sword Maniac. Had a completely different soundtrack. But in the U.S., it was called Excalibur 2097, had kind of a different story, and the soundtrack was done by Psychosonic, which, if anyone bothered with anything about Mortal Kombat Annihilation, they were one of the artists from that soundtrack. Really just dancey electronic music, really good stuff.
Let me turn this up a little bit just for our listeners to hear. Check out that sweet Super Nintendo beat.
But this is actually the version of Welcome to My Mind, which was like my favorite song they did.
Awesome.
So, anyway. The game is also fairly interesting. Basically, you've got a big ton of different characters that are in this, but it is... it's notable for being a side-scrolling adventure game. Where at the same time, though, you had your boss fights kind of turn it into a fighting game. It was pretty interesting. But really, I mean, the biggest thing is notable is that there was this involvement with a major band, I should say, at the time. But hold on just a second.
You feeling okay over there, Dr. Tyra?
Yeah, I am. Oh. I'm trying to find something real quick because one of my links I forgot to send to you.
Oh.
But it's okay. A couple of the things about it is that the art style in it was pretty dark. But you had all kinds of just neat different characters that you would pick up along the way. But you started off playing... In the American version, this is someone named Slash, who basically went around to make peace and order in the world with his sword. And then you also could pick... there's also, like, you rescued his partner, Alex, who was taken hostage, and she then, like, gets possessed and all kinds of stuff. And there's all kinds of, you know... different characters in there you have to beat. So, it was a pretty neat game. You know, fairly average for side-scrolling, but I think it was the soundtrack that was the most notable thing about it. So, there you go.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Excalibur 2097.
Known as Sword Mania.
Sword Mania X.
Sword Mania X,
yeah. Just kidding. But that's what it was called over in Japan.
I would play Sword Mania X.
You know what's funny is that in YouTube on that audio, YouTube recommends the Killer Instinct theme as a related video. And it's kind of because I actually kind of hear that whole like Killer Instinct.
Well, if you want to play just a few seconds, though, of what the song came from. Although if people listen to the show all the way through, they'll
Yes, I can hear it play a little bit of what inspired that here. Let's listen to a piece. Oh my god, ultimate dance party right there in the 90s.
I didn't realize that they had Synthwave and Killer Instinct. That's kind of...
That's not Killer Instinct.
Well, that's not Killer Instinct, but yeah, but still.
But that was like 1994 for me,
yeah,
you know?
That's like the original song of what we heard in the other game. So yeah, the Excalibur game.
Yeah.
So. All right.
So there you go.
Sweet. All right, there it is, your classic.
Good music, okay game. But hey, it's that whole era of cyberpunk games. So
I gotcha. All right, we're gonna take a quick break though. When we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including the emails that you guys submitted to us, as well as your phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, all one word. We'll be right back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio.
Can't get enough Final Fantasy XIV? Is Eorzea your second home? Do you lie awake at night thinking about all the times you've wiped to Susanoo Extreme? Well, then make way for Astral Era, a new podcast that's sure to whet your appetite for all things Final Fantasy XIV. Tune in for in-depth discussion of new content, game mechanics, story, lore, music, glamours, and more tangents than a Marlboro's Got Tentacles, but none of the bad breath. Check us out today at astralerapodcast.com or look for us on iTunes. That's astralerapodcast.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 699 already in progress for this September the 10th of 2017. And yes, you heard there in the little break there a bumper for another indie podcast that is run by some good pals of mine. Be sure to check them out, the Astral Era podcast. And if you have a show that you would like to promote here at Orange Lounge Radio, we are accepting commercials around 60 seconds, give or take a few. You can contact me directly with serious inquiries at rob@vognetwork.com. That's rob@vognetwork.com. And if you have a show you would like to promote, as long as it's something indie, we're happy to promote it here at Orange Lounge Radio. You can get in touch with me at rob@vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf in chat saying, Dad of Light made me miss Final Fantasy 14. I still need to see that at some point. I hear that's really good, but, you know, I was out of town for a little bit. Anyway, we have some late breaking news to get into tonight before we get into rapid fire news. Do I still have my special report break music? I think I have it here. Let me see if we have our special report breaking news theme while news is shattering. Yes. Breaking news on this Sunday, just a few hours before we went live here at Orange Lounge Radio. An incredibly popular YouTuber who has over millions and millions of subscribers on YouTube. He dropped the N-word while using a stream, while doing a stream today.
Wait, who?
His name is, it's like P-U, I'm eating a pie or something like that.
Oh.
So, not the first time that man's mouth's gotten him into a little bit of trouble and, you know, didn't even really apologize for it, like, the moment that it happened because it just, man, I debated if I should play the clip or not, and I'm not going to because I don't want to promote this person. But just the way that that word just kind of just fell out of that guy's mouth when it really probably shouldn't be a part of his vocabulary is a little bit worrisome, especially with as many followers as he has. And, you know, that people learn that behavior from somewhere and, you know, what he's doing. And the way he kind of played it off, he kind of did a little, oh, sorry, you know, kind of like under his breath or whatever. It was kind of crap. Let's be real. And again, not the first time this guy has done something. So I would also like to know, why do we keep making stupid people famous? You know, what is it about our culture that we keep? Because unfortunately, this guy's name was trending on Twitter after the incident, which I realize a lot of it was negative and so forth, but it's like, it's just so irritating to me because there's so many hardworking independent streamers, and I'm not even myself. Like, I'm fortunate to have more followers than some other people out there who are probably better at it than I am. And yet these people aren't the ones getting recognition. It's guys like this guy that are. So, I don't know when this guy's going to get canceled, but it didn't happen the last time. I doubt it's going to happen this time either. I don't know.
Stop watching him if you guys don't like the way he talks. I mean,
that's what I wish people would stop doing. Let's see. Bob Coffee in chat says, shocking news. Racist little shit is a racist little shit. Mm-hmm. Kaijudo in chat says, he did that before and got in trouble. Yep. All right. Anyway. Let's move on. That was some late breaking news. Let's do some rapid fire news and hopefully something a little more positive, right, Loki?
Yeah. So this week they made an announcement regarding LA Noire, which is like, what? Rockstar, what? So L.A. Noire is being remastered for the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and VR. And it's not just one game, but actually three different games. So L.A. Noire, the VR case files, will be coming to the HTC Vive. And apparently it's going to be seven of the original cases from the L.A. Noire game. And then they've, of course, adapted those for VR. L.A. Noire is going to be coming to the Switch with unique game features, all additional content, Joy-Con mode with gyroscopic and gesture-based controls and rumble and all that fun stuff. And then, of course, L.A. Noire for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's going to be remastered. They have 4K for the PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X. And, yeah. And that's going to be coming out later, although I don't think they have a date on that yet. November 14th.
I guess it's neat that it's coming to Switch, but that game's kind of
old.
Like, I hope that's not some freaking benchmark for Rockstar on how they can do on the Switch, because this isn't exactly the greatest litmus test, in my opinion.
Well, it's an okay title. Like, it wasn't one I ever got into. I don't know. It's not as action-packed as, like, say, a Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto. It would be cool to see, like, a Grand Theft Auto 4 remaster or something like that come to the Switch, but
yes,
I think that's asking a little too much, especially yes. with that data problem that they're having, fitting all that content onto, you know, cartridge. Why don't they just do multiple cartridges, you know, like back in the day?
You probably have to switch back and forth. It probably wouldn't
still
work so well.
Still too expensive?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. What else, Loki?
And then, of course, speaking of more remasters, this is more of a rumored port, but, you know, Bayonetta and Vanquish were just remastered on PC. Well, the rumors are that it's going to be coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One as well. So they haven't announced it yet, but soon. Apparently, there's some retail listings that have appeared for it.
Oh, my God, Loki, does this mean Bayonetta 2?
And here's the best part about it. It's a two-pack. So it's actually going to be both games together
for $60. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know how much yet, but probably not that much.
But there's box art, so
I think Bayonetta on Steam is only $15, $20. It wasn't 30.
Yeah. So right now it's as expected in 2017, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
And although I joke with Loki, don't expect Bayonetta 2 again, Nintendo. You know, they may have a time thing on it. Like, it may be, like, after 5 years. But I would assume that 5 years is the minimum on that sort of agreement. When did Bayonetta 2 come out? Was it 2015 at this point? So it's going to – you still got a few more years to wait before something like that would happen. So, anyway, moving on. A story that you heard referenced in our introduction that actually also came from Discord this week. Thanks to you folks that use our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. But apparently, newly updated official Japanese language profile about Mario has made it clear that he's retired from the world of plumbing. He is no longer a plumber. The profile explains, all around sporty, whether it's tennis or baseball, soccer or car racing, he does everything cool. As a matter of fact, he also seems to have worked as a plumber a long time ago, hence the past tense of worked. Now, if you want to get technical, back when Mario was known as Jumpman, when he was in Donkey Kong, he was a carpenter in that game. But, you know, I know a lot of people that have worked several different types of jobs in their lives. But it seems like Mario has retired from the world of plumbing. My assumption would be that after all the times that he's rescued Princess Peach when, you know, she's not helping herself out, that she must be a sugar mama or something, right? He's getting some of that castle money, some of that Mushroom Kingdom coin. Is that happening? No? Yeah? All right.
I mean, you got it. It's easy to make the joke that he's plumbed the princess, but no. who cares? I mean, because who cares?
That's a really good question. Who fucking cares?
Who fucking cares? I mean, it's like, I don't.
Loki, I need the background for my fanfiction.
I can't enjoy this if I know that he's a plumber.
I don't mean, like Thing.
So what? He did plumbing. You know, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit what his fucking occupation is? Because it never has once played into the game, aside from the fact that he's in pipes and sewers. And Jake, he's a pipe.
But the movie, Loki, the movie.
A pipe and overall enthusiast, okay? He just likes that sort of shit. He's an urban explorer. Let's make him, like, all...
Dark Sakura, has your world been turned upside down by the news that Mario is no longer a plumber?
Whoop-de-shit.
Brad from Pod Culture in our chat, who, by the way, also celebrating a birthday today, so happy birthday, buddy. Brad from maybe I could pronounce the fucking name on his birthday. Brad from Pod Culture says, Mario has laid enough pipe.
You know what Mario is?
Huh.
He's a fucking cold-hearted murderer is what he is, because he just fucking indiscriminately kills all sorts of creatures in the Mushroom Kingdom.
And he trapped that poor gorilla and tried to electrocute his child.
I mean, he is a fucking sociopath, so that is what
is. Mario's a fucking asshole.
Oh, but we don't pay attention to all the death and murder. It's what is his occupation? I need to know that shit.
Death and murder is fine as long as he doesn't have sex.
Or better yet, since this has come from Japan, did his blood type change too? Because that is very important information. I need to know his blood type. I need to know it.
Orange Riot in chat says, he caused that turtle to bounce between those two pipes for eternity.
What about Luigi? Is he a plumber or is he now a ghost hunter? Because, you know, one of those is a legitimate job. One is not a legitimate job. I mean, what's Luigi?
Wow, everybody in chat just fucking letting it out when it comes to Mario. Fifth Dream says, he has a shitty mustache.
What about Waluigi and Wario? There's all these people that are not plumbers, but sure as a hell a lot of fucking overalls and shit going on with this.
Maybe that's just the fashion in the Mushroom
pipes.
Kingdom.
So if he's not a plumber, then he's just a guy that likes swimming in the fucking sewer. He just loves diving down pipes of shit and jumping around the sewer. And none of this makes any sense anymore. Who thought it would be a good idea? I mean, okay. So I get it that he's not a plumber now, because honestly, the guy's been taking quite the vacation from his job. So that makes
sense. He probably
got
fired.
He's like, well, he's been missing for fucking decades now. I'm assuming the guy's dead. Probably on a meth binge or something like that. Who knows?
Moving on. Speaking
fucking,
of Mario.
Fucking shroom head.
Despite all your fucking issues with Mario, everybody's suddenly venting. Yeah, I always hated that guy. Fuck Mario. Everybody's just coming out and airing their grievances with Mario. I know you're all still excited about Mario Odyssey. Don't fucking lie. Mario Odyssey is coming out, of course, on the Switch in October. And some more information has come out, including, I guess, the box art is out there now. And also, some new kingdoms have been announced in the game. So there's a video floating around there on the internet. And you can check out some of the new kingdoms in the game, as well as a brand new move called the hip drop jump. That's right. You jump in the air after doing a ground pound. So you use the momentum you get from the ground pound to jump a little bit higher.
The princess is very familiar with this move.
The hip drop jump.
After you do a ground pound, you gotta jump up in the air.
Dark Sakura, save me from this.
Fucking porn star now, man, with all those kind of moves.
Save me from this discussion.
How about balls?
No.
Pinball FX3 is getting a release date. Woo. It'll be out on September 26th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And comes with the Universal Classics set Jaws, Back to the Future, and E.T. Yay. I can play pinball at home for real.
Yeah, but I like these.
Are
I still
these
like
in
these
4K?
Games.
Because I think that's the new thing, right?
4K. I thought you said 4. Is it 4K? Is it 4K?
And there's also a demo out for a 16-bit version of Resident Evil for the Sega Mega Drive / Genesis.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat, by the way, saying not all of us can play it at home for real. Star Soccer, you're like, Dark Soccer, you need to check your pinball privilege.
You know what?
What?
People could just come to my house.
So Bobby's invited to your house?
Bobby's
anytime?
Invited to my house.
All right.
Come on out, Bobby.
So he can't use that excuse anymore.
Yep.
That sounds fair. There's nothing wrong with this plan.
A little bit of an aside.
Huh.
At CoinOp, they have Lexi Lightspeed. No, Lexi Lightspeed is supposed to... It's a prototype modular pinball table that has a monitor built into the playfield.
Mm-hmm.
So you can reprogram the monitor and change out the modular parts and then make it a new game. But just saying, for folks in this area, go to CoinOp and play Lexi Lightspeed.
Bobby has also, and he's talked about this on his show, he's moved into a new house that is soon to be, he will have that basement full of pinball stuff. So he's complaining now, but later, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Mm. And I've still, one of these days, sorry, I will have my baby Pac-Man machine. One of these days.
We looked at one.
Did you really?
It was like $6,000.
$6,000 for baby Pac-Man?
For working fully shopped.
Oh my God.
It's getting rare again. Pinball prices have gone way up. Like, you could get a Medieval Madness for maybe $5,000.
Hmm.
$8,000-$9,000 now.
Wow.
Seriously.
All right.
But anyway, 16-bit Resident Evil, blah, blah, blah.
In the meantime, Pinball FX will work. Oh, that was the other story, but that was it?
That was it.
16-bit Resident Evil, blah, blah,
Who
blah.
Who cares, pinball? Rob, we need to do the pinball cast.
I'm not as into pinball as you are.
It needs to be called Look at My Balls. I'll call it that. Why not? Shiny balls.
I think you should find another. Surely there are other female pinball enthusiasts out there. You should all band together and do a cast, a lady cast.
A lady cast.
Called Look at My Balls. Show of hands in chat. Would you listen to a lady pinball cast called Look at My Balls? Look at My Shiny Balls. They would. Bob, they'd listen to it.
Ever since you were a young boy, did you play the silver ball?
It only works if you sing it. It doesn't work right if you just recite it. All right. So just to say, the website doing that Resident Evil 16-bit, pscd.ru, visit those types of places at your own risk. But there's a demo for the Sega Mega Drive /Genesis of basically a remake of Resident Evil, but in 16-bit. I thought you would have been into that, Dark Sakura, but you got distracted by pinball.
I got distracted by balls.
All right.
By the way,
some comments in chat. Brad says, best name ever. Let's see. Brad also says, fuck yes. SSG100 Matt says, yes. Fithream says, yes. Raginator says, sign me up. Come on, Nolgus says, sounds like Manther Daddy needs a sugar daddy when it comes to my baby Pac-Man machine.
Why now do I have Hedvig in my head?
Oh, my God. I got a tangent time. I got a Snapchat from our pal Victoria, who has she ever been on this show? Maybe once, like a long time ago, because she doesn't really play a lot of games. Well, she'll tell you
she's now the cosplay queen.
Okay, she'll tell you she doesn't play video games, but then she'll be like, "I just ran an all female D&D campaign where we do." I'm like, "Bitch, you play games? You play game? You
tabletop?
May not play- yeah." So anyway, she sent me a snap. She was watching Hedwig earlier today and exposing one of her friends to it. And if you've never seen this movie called Hedwig and the
Angry Inch, exposing is a good word for it.
It's like one of the greatest movies, one of my absolute favorite movies ever. It's a few years old at this point, and they did a Broadway revival that was well known with Neil Patrick Harris. But the movie is great too. So that was my tangent. Thank you very much. All right, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, "I write an actual factual thing that's neat about Pinball FX3, and it gets ignored for Manther Baby." Oh, hi! This must be your first episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome to the show. As I mentioned, we're three friends that all met playing DDR. Fine. Here's the comment. Blackwell says, "The great thing about Pinball FX3 is that they have a game mode that actually teaches you the way to play proper pinball today, as in how to do the objectives and stuff,
ball
not
flips.
Just keep the ball in play as long as possible."
Ball flips.
That's right. All right.
If anyone wants to see a really good multi-ball run, I did put video up of Dan playing Cactus Canyon Continued.
And you don't always hit both flippers at the same time. That's a total fucking noob move. You hit one or the other. Maybe once in a while you hit both, but you...
Two rules right now.
What?
Look at the layout of the field,
mm-hmm.
and don't play the Simpsons Pinball Party at the Bolt.
If there are two things I know about pinball, that could be the first episode. There's two things I know. Look, we're going to talk about my two balls, my two big balls right at the top of the show. Number one, look at the play field. Number two, don't play Simpsons Party at the Bolt.
Now, I know that may be low-hanging balls there, but it's a good first topic.
Y'all are on fire tonight. What's that? We take a week off. Should the show move to every other week? Because we're funnier after we have a week off. All right, anyway. Let's get to what is in stores this week. Travel around the world. What's out in the U.S., Logie?
Well, there's certainly a lot, so let's get started with it. So starting off with NASCAR Heat 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Pro Evolution Soccer 2018 on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Rayman Legends Definitive Edition on the Nintendo Switch. Time Recoil on PlayStation 4. Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana on PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and PC. Baja Edge of Control HD on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Divinity Original Sins 2 on PC. Earthlock Festival of Magic on Wii U. Hive Swap on PC, Mac, and Linux. Dishonored Death of the Outsider on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Metroid Samus Returns on 3DS.
Yay.
NHL 18 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Jesus. And
it's a big week. It's a busy week.
Yeah, a little bit. And then that's it, actually.
All right. Japan's pretty busy this week, too. On the PlayStation 4, September the 14th, Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which we had a few weeks ago, is getting its release in Japan. So you have that to look forward to. Also coming out, World Soccer Winning 11 2018. That's right. Konami's yearly soccer franchise gets its release this week. You might know that as Pro Evo Soccer, which is probably coming out in Europe, but I'll wait for Jamie to confirm that. Raiden 5, the director's cut in regular and limited edition, also this week. And that's, let's see, Monster Hunter Frontier Z gets a version with Chinese subs this week for those that need that to be able to play the game. So that's your releases on the PlayStation 4 this week. On the Vita, believe it or not, nothing on the Vita this week. It doesn't pick up again until September the 21st, so that Pro Evo doesn't sound like it's actually on the Vita this week. But on the Switch this week, Winning Post 8 2017 and Champion Jockey Special are out this week, both on the 14th, so you have that to look forward to. And then lastly, on the 3DS this week, I imagine that Metroid game, yep, also out in Japan, the same day we're getting it here in the U.S. along with the various amiibo, or would it be amiibi, that go with it. Dar Sakura, how about the U.K.?
In the U.K., we have a few things. On the 11th, East 8, Lacrimosa of Dana. On the 12th, we have Dino Dini's Kickoff Revival for PC, whatever that is. On the 13th, we have Semispheres for Switch. On the 14th, Hive Swap for Mac and PC through Steam. PES 2018 for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. What? Oh, well. And on the 16th, Paprium for the Mega Drive. What?
It must be one of those fan things that's officially releasing this week, so it made it on the way to its list somewhere.
It's a Mega Drive game.
Why not?
It took 4 years to make.
Why not?
Kind of Streets of Rage-y. Okay, new Mega Drive game coming out. Only in Europe.
All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Andreati with VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, respect.
Well, if that's it for releases,
yes.
Then let's take a minute to go to the mailbag.
No.
Yes. Every week you email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. Dark Soccer's going to dive into the mailbag head first and find some emails worthy of reading tonight. I think there's one.
There's two by the same person.
Oh, all right. Two it is.
Okay. Oh, no. I think I already read this one. I thought I did.
You might have. I feel like one is a follow-up to the other.
Yeah, I think one's a follow-up to the other.
So read the follow-up.
Delete. Deleted. I got my Raspberry Pi in case a few days after the first email I wrote. It was really easy to set up, only took a few hours. Now I have a mini classic system that plays way more than 30 games, actually about 200 times more so far, with a lot of room for another few thousand. I've been enjoying some other three, a couple of Metroid games I missed in the past, and some gamer ADD-fueled random classic arcade game sessions. Just thought I'd let you guys know it was up and running. I encourage anyone who missed out on Nintendo's minis or anyone who does love classic games to give it a go and put one of these together themselves. They're great. Thanks again, Fifth Dream.
By the way, Fifth Dream's in chat right now saying we never did read the original email.
It must
have come in the week that we were gone. So, well, I've actually been following his saga a little bit on Twitter and Facebook and all that.
I thought for sure I did because I was like, But I have one.
But anyway, well, we'll summarize a little bit. So,
and it's quick. I'll read it.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Hope you guys did it. I hope you're proud of yourselves. You finally pushed me over the edge to purchase a Raspberry Pi kit to make a classic gaming rig. I really wanted the NES Classic. The games on it were great, and it was worth the price to get the games officially and legally. But of course, I couldn't obtain one. I mildly considered a Raspberry Pi, but never bothered. I wasn't really interested in this NES Classic, and after hearing the effery involving that system too, and the discussion of last episode, you guys convinced me to look into the Pi as an alternative for easy retro gaming on my TV. It doesn't seem too complicated, and I have a little extra money at the moment, so I went for it. As an extra little FU to Nintendo, cue the FU music. I also, you don't have to, Rob. I also purchased.
I had it ready to go.
I also purchased a case for it that looks like a mini NES. If Nintendo won't let me buy the thing from them, I'll have to go ahead and make my own. Anyway, thanks guys for inspiring me to take the plunge and do this. Soon I'll be gaming like it's 1985 on my brand new homemade classic system, Fifth Dream. Don't blame me. I bought one.
I think it would have been great if Nintendo would have made enough of them so you didn't feel you had to turn to this route. But seeing as they didn't and you did, I'm glad to hear it's running well.
I'm glad it's working for you, but I don't know. I've got EverDrive, so
as long as you did that, put the Guardian Legend on it for me, bro. Put the Guardian Legend. Did you put the Guardian Legend on it, Fifth Dream?
Did you see? Speaking of the Guardian Legend, and I should have fucking brought this up. There is an alpha build of a Guardian Legend kind of remix.
Oh yes, I saw it floating around your Facebook. I think actually.
Yeah. I chatted with one of the testers of it. Over YouTube, and I'm actually pretty impressed with it. I haven't had a chance to sit down and play it yet, just given work and everything, especially next week. I have it downloaded, and the music is really good. It looks like it's got some preliminary issues with collision detection and tweaking the difficulty level some.
But it's an early fan-made game. It's going to have
issues. It looks really good.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Too bad that franchise can't seem to live on officially. I want the guys who made Blaster Master Zero to get their hands on this. Like, who do I have to blow to make that happen?
The entirety of Compile.
Line them up.
All three people left with the company.
Line them up. All right. Anyway, that's it for the mailbag. If you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We do have some more news stories for you guys, and then we're going to open up the Skype line. Yes, Skype is back tonight. Yay. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki, you first, though.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about YouTube again, unfortunately. So there's a whole CSGO gambling fiasco, I guess, with these different independent-run gambling sites that basically allowed you to bet on or different like loot boxes and stuff and all that. So the problem was that there's these two guys, Trevor Martin, or T. Martin, and Thomas Syndicate Castle, who were running these sites, and they were also promoting them on their YouTube channels, but not necessarily showing that they, not disclosing that they own these sites. In fact, they even faked videos showing that, oh yeah, they're winning all this valuable loot and basically kind of promoting this stuff. So they did run afoul with the FTC. However, there was no penalty because FTC said it normally can't fine defendants for a first offense. However, it did say that they could face up to more than $40,000 per violation if they fail to clearly and conspicuously disclose any future activity. Of course, a lot of people aren't too happy about that because they feel that these guys have already deceived quite a few people. But I guess they get a warning for now, and hopefully they discontinue their activities.
You've been warned. You've been given a stern warning.
Don't do it again, even
That's
though you've
right.
made millions of dollars on this. Don't do it anymore.
Right. So, moving over to Nintendo, and something that I think a lot of us have been asking Nintendo for some time. Not everybody, though, to be fair, is an achievement system on Nintendo's console. Obviously, Xbox the 360 and One have the achievement points system. The Sony PlayStation has the trophy thing, but Nintendo systems don't have anything, at least not for now. What's kind of interesting is that there was a Ask Me Anything that happened this past week, and one of the developers from Crunching Koalas was doing an Ask Me Anything over the Nintendo Switch game Lichspear. I hope I said that right. Apparently, as part of this AMA, he may have let it slip that there is actually an achievement system coming out. See, I'm trying to find the specific quote here in the AMA thread where it is. He said that... Sorry, I didn't have it up as soon as I was ready to go with the story here. Here we go. So he was responding to somebody who asked, does your game have online rankings? And he replied and said, Nintendo doesn't have an official support for achievements and leaderboards like Sony or Microsoft, but we know that they're working on it. We'll see how it goes, and we'll add the rankings along the way. Also, the game has multiple levels, game modes, difficulty levels, et cetera, et cetera. So he said, we know they're working on it. Now, could this be that this is something that's about to get unveiled when Nintendo wants your money? To use the online service.
Oh my god, it's the first time ever that achievements have been brought to consoles. Nintendo is such an innovator.
Well, they could put... I said this a long time ago, is that Nintendo could do it like coins, and you could actually... Like, you get coins when you do stuff in games. I guess this is kind of like the My Nintendo system, but then you could actually use those coins for dinky rewards. Or maybe, heck, tie it into the My Nintendo system. Why not? Miitomo, I remember that was one of the big reasons to play Miitomo, is you actually got coins from doing stuff that you could buy. Like, it was really, it was mostly dippy stuff. It was like backgrounds and 3DS themes, you know, but it's still something. And I think at one point they gave away, like, for 1,000 of those coins, that you could get P-Cross Zelda version of 3DS. Like, there was actual, like, games you could get. Now, see, yes, Nintendo actually would be groundbreaking if they did stuff like that. I'm not going to hold my breath, but even a basic achievement system would be more than they've got now.
I'd agree with you. However, Microsoft used to do that with the Xbox achievements, where certain achievements would unlock stuff for your avatars, clothing and stuff. So it's been done.
Okay, that's true.
But I'm sure they would like to tout themselves as groundbreaking with some stupid shit like that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, but I also realize not everybody out there is into the achievement thing, and that's cool. But I think Nintendo has such a rich catalog, especially if they are going to go back. If they're going to go back and update 8-bit games like Balloon Fight, let's say, to play online, then if they're going to be in there having to update it to do online anyway, then why not sneak in some achievements while you're at it? I mean... I realize this is not something that could be done for the entire catalog, but, you know, some of your biggest classics, why not? I don't know. We'll see. Oh, Raginator says, can you buy stuff with Uplay achievements, too? That is true. Uplay has that whole system.
That's actually pretty useful.
Yeah, you can get, like, dance remixes and Just Dance and things like that, right? So
I did use it for South Park costume unlocks.
Right. Okay, well, maybe... Okay, so Nintendo wouldn't necessarily be innovative in this department, but it would be Nintendo, so you all wouldn't care. Trust. Dark Saga, what do you have for us?
Well, it's a little tiny bone thrown out to Silent Hill fans, but in an interview, Akira Yamaoka was saying that he would love to work on another Silent Hill title if the series was revived. And he said several times that he really wanted to work on another Silent Hill game. It was mentioned at Gamescom. He said, I am not against it, but it's hard to say because everyone has evolved and maybe the mindset has changed as well. So at least we know we can count on somebody for Silent Hill.
Well, I guess if a Bomberman revival happened and DDR is still chugging along over there at Konami, anything's possible. But I'm just not going to hold my breath. I'm not going to get my hopes up over anything.
Yeah.
I still need to watch that Castlevania anime, though. Just so much to do, so little time to do it when I need to nap. I was too busy watching the Twin Peaks revival. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight after my live stream. There's no more Twin Peaks revival to watch. It ended last week. Did you know that? And I had to wait till Monday to see it. I had to avoid Twitter for 24 hours because I was worried about being spoiled.
Oops.
I know. I know.
Sacrifices.
I know the sacrifices I make.
My eyes hurt now.
Anyway.
From rolling.
But I will give a shout out to John from Critical Myth, because he wrote a great review of the finale on our website, vognetwork.com. He has the whole little section there, and him and his staff, for the TV reviews. And he did a great one for the Twin Peaks finale. It's filled with spoilers, so don't read it unless you never plan to watch it, or you don't care about spoilers.
I'll probably watch it then, because I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, but he did a really good review, I thought.
Cool.
So, good. I just wanted to give props where props is due. All right. And Act Deft in chat says, spoilers, it ends. I don't know if that's true. Anyway, Loki, what do you have for us?
All right, so apparently Steam has been blocked in Malaysia. And the reason it was blocked is because there's this game that's actually on Steam right now called Fight of the Gods. And so it's an early access and basically stars different god-type characters from different mythologies fighting against each other. So you have Jesus Christ versus Zeus versus Odin versus
this doesn't
Amaterasu
sound controversial whatsoever.
Anubis. And they also have, like, Moses and
Wait, isn't this
Buddha.
Smite?
Huh?
Isn't this Smite you're describing?
I don't know.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
But, yeah, it looks like it's a silly fighting game. But, of course, you know, they took offense to it because, you know.
Jesus in a fighting game is offensive to some people, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, basically, yeah. I like, they have, like, I guess they're saying that his fight introduction, there's a voiceover result. I'm back for the people. And he rips himself off the cross and uses, like, I guess some of the blocks of wood still, you know, nailed to his hands and his weapons.
Wow. Well, you know what? Hey, people are free to make whatever game they want.
But, I mean, the game itself, I mean, it's not, you know, it's still very early. It's, you know, rough. But
sorry. Bobby Blackwolf says in chat, the trailer says he's back and he's cross. Oh, boy. Okay. Anyhow. Yeah, some countries don't appreciate that type of stuff.
So if he really wants to piss people off, he'll put the Prophet Muhammad in there, too. And then you're going to cross
those
lines.
Don't go there. All right. Moving on. One more story. JD says, Bobby really nailed that one. And Bobby's like, no, I'm not kidding. Like, that wasn't a joke. That was really, really in the trailer. All right. Moving on. One more story for you guys tonight. Our last story tonight. And I hope there is a particular listener of ours that's paying attention to this story that I'm about to talk about, because I don't bring this game up very often on the show, but I felt it was worthy to bring up tonight, Magic the Gathering. That's right. Wizards of the Coast unveiled this week Magic the Gathering Arena. It's a free-to-play title. So I think this listener, it's like two favorite things combined, Magic the Gathering and free. So it's a free-to-play title, and it's being made by Digital Games Studio. If you would like, you can get in the closed beta, which you can get into at magic.wizards.com/en/MTG Arena, or you can probably Google it and you'll find it that way. The game is targeting a PC release, but they're looking to do other platforms as well. The beta is going to start with constructed play, where you can build decks using all 279 cards from the upcoming expansion set Ixalan. Am I saying that right? It's Ixalan, but I think when you have an X in that context between two vowels, it's the sh noise, right? I think Ixalan. Draft and ranked constructed are coming later. The goal for launch to include all standard legal Magic cards. The focus of the arena game will be on the newest cards and game mode. Because of this, we know that Magic Online, which has a library of nearly every card ever printed from the game's entire history, will continue to offer experiences to players that are unique to Magic Online. Development on Magic Online will continue with new card sets, new updates, and ongoing tournaments. So there's both games that are going to be covered there. They are trying to go after live streaming with this, and they are hoping that MTG Arena will be one of the most viewed streams on Twitch. And I got to say, looking at the layout of this game, they definitely know some of the things that work well with Hearthstone, because I'm kind of reminded of it. But to be fair, Hearthstone owes a lot to Magic the Gathering as well. So it's kind of neat how these two games have kind of helped each other out. So Magic the Gathering Arena. I like the free portion of that. That definitely is motivating to check that out. So check that out. All right. We're going to open up the Skype line right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And by the way, if you didn't catch the reference there, Raginator, who calls into this show, likes free games and often talks about Magic the Gathering. So if you didn't catch the joke, just you know, I just want to explain it for you guys. One of our frequent callers. If you want to be a frequent caller or a first-time caller, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And sure enough, wow, it's lighting up right now. So let's get to it. We got some calls coming in. We're going to start with this one. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm relaxing. I've done all my adult chores. I'm kicking back with an adult beverage.
Good job. You adulted. Do something adult.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, first things first, you know, I totally forgot about Metroid coming out. I know, bad gamer.
There's a lot happening, so it's okay.
I'm trying to track down a copy of the deluxe edition, and I'm hoping that Target pulls through for me on this.
Yeah, you know what? I couldn't find a deluxe edition either, so I ended up ordering the regular one because I don't think there was that big a difference between the deluxe and the regular.
I think it's extra. It comes with a CD soundtrack and some other stuff. If anything, I can just go to a GameStop. You know how they do.
No. Yeah, and they'll just kind of like be like, all right, here you go. If we didn't sell them all or whatever.
There you go. But this is something I wanted to call in and talk about real quick. I don't know if this has been talked about, but this is my theory on the whole Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo cross-platform gaming thing.
We haven't talked about it tonight, but this has definitely come up in previous episodes, especially when games like Rocket League come up. And I think specifically that one because of the fact that Rocket League will be out on Nintendo platforms before the end of the year. So what are your thoughts?
Well, first things first. Now, when you play on Xbox Live, those are centralized Microsoft servers. They handle all of that. First party, third party, they handle all of that.
Yep.
This is the main reason why you can't PC play. Whereas on PC, the third-party companies handle their own servers. And also, when it comes to Sony, you connect to their central servers first before you go out to the PC servers. Now, for unified play, you would need a Microsoft account. It's whatever email address you use to log in with Xbox Live. That's your Microsoft account. So you could tie that to your Nintendo account. And if you notice on various sites, you could tie your Nintendo account to your Facebook account, your Google account, whatever. That's all said and good. And I believe that is the main reason why Sony does not want to play with Nintendo like that, because they don't want people tying their Sony IDs to the Microsoft accounts. I feel that they don't want Microsoft to deal with the services that are handling everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My game, my rules.
But isn't it interesting that Final Fantasy XIV exists? Now, granted, it's not on Xbox One, but it's Sony and PC crossplay.
True. But when that time comes, when it comes out on Xbox One, we will not be able to play together because that's separate centralized servers unless Sony or Square, whoever, decide to, you know, let's try to make this work.
Well, Square has flat out said if they won't do that, then they're not releasing it. Done. They're not going to release it on Xbox unless they drop that whole thing.
And that's what it is. So Microsoft is not going to let that happen.
But yet, they did with Final Fantasy XI. Which was cross-play between Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2. Granted, I know that was years ago, but it is still an example of they can make it work.
True. Maybe my theory is it worked well, but probably higher ups on Microsoft just wasn't feeling it. Maybe it was a deal. Maybe, I don't know.
It was absolutely a deal. It was, we want Square on Microsoft platform so fucking badly, we will do anything. Oh, how about our MMO that we could make more money off of with your platform that caters to the America audience? How about that? And yep, okay, sounds good. Yep, great. MMO 360, let's do it. And they didn't give a fuck about the PC and PlayStation element because they finally got a Square release on their console. That's why they did it.
And I think with FF11, once you connected to the Microsoft servers, you bounced off to the Square servers to play.
Yes, which ironically, Play Online at the time, Play Online doesn't really exist anymore. At least not in that form. But Play Online was a joint venture between Square and Sony. So you were, it was like you were using a Sony service on your Xbox 360. I'm stretching it a little bit, but still, it's not the type of thing that would exist today. And it's weird to think that just what God, that was what Treasures of Otter Gone was maybe a 2008 release. So this wasn't a horrifically long time ago.
Pretty much.
Yeah. They could make it work if they want to. Well, isn't Minecraft? Haven't they also said that Minecraft will be playable between it's basically everything but Sony?
Yeah, because it's pretty much when it comes out for the Switch, you're going to be connecting to Microsoft servers, logging in with a Microsoft account to keep it all together, because the majority of players are pretty much PC, Xbox, and yeah. You play on the PC, you're logging in with your Microsoft account. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you've been playing Minecraft for a long time and you get it for the Switch and you see a login says log with your Microsoft account, that person will be like, oh, easy. I don't have to create no new account. No, I can just jump right in and play.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, you know, people don't seem to be threatened by Nintendo when it comes to the online space. Fancy that. Because nobody's ever like, F you, Nintendo. You can't join in on this. Well, usually it's Nintendo. Your system is incapable of joining in on this. But with the Switch, some of that seems to be changing, I guess, between Rocket League and Minecraft and whatever else.
Slowly but surely. But I am getting impressed by the Switch. Am I getting one? Not just yet. I'm still waiting.
Will you be able to get one when you want one? Thoughts and prayers.
Something like that. But I will say this. My next console will be an Xbox One. Will it be an S or an X? We will see as the holidays come down.
Might also depend on, is Crackdown 3 out yet, right?
Yep. And like I said, the only reason why I'm getting an Xbox One, as you've always said, it's the golden rule of games. It's the only reason why my first next-gen console at the time was an Xbox 360. That console has all the games I will sit there and play the fuck out of.
Yes, sir. That's the most important, if it has the games you want. Absolutely. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go to see if we get any more calls. But thank you, as always, for the call. And everybody should check out Anime Jam Session, even if none of you went to Dragon Con.
No, but one of my staffers, Ichigo, she did go, and I told her to find you that weekend. I told her, go down to the podcasting tracks, find the VOG staff, give Rob a hug.
Aw, I did not run into her, sadly, but DragonCon is a huge 80,000 people this year.
No, she's quite a precious little cinnamon roll.
Well, there's always next year, because I will be back next year.
Might just see an unlockable character come down next year.
Ooh, I think I'm allowed to say this because I think, has he said it on Twitter? All right, maybe I'll get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. My understanding is that Travis Donovan's back next year. And this is a big fucking deal. Just so you know.
So I think we need to get all of VOG together. You know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it up.
Hell yeah. Who wants to get Raven and EJ plane tickets? So we get Girls Gone Wow represented and Dark Sakura. I know. I've been begging you to come to Dragon Con, but
I don't have money.
I know. It's something you gotta save and plan for.
Shall I make a GoFundMe?
I will throw money towards it.
We'll see.
All right. I'm gonna let you go to get more calls, but thank you so much for the call.
No problem. Stay fabulous, Rob.
Thank you. Stay safe. What? I'm trying to think of something new to tell you.
Okay, I thought you were trying not to say it because you might be offensive. You forget I'm the hardest person to offend in this world.
No. Stay Black is the longest running joke in OLR's history. I'm just trying to. We're coming up on episode 700, Rama. We got to innovate a little bit here.
Well, I guess you say stay weebish or whatever, because you know that's how I am. I'm idle trash, weeb trash, whatever.
Nope, I got it. Stay drunk.
Okay, deal.
All right, take care, buddy.
Later.
Bye. All right. Bobby Blackwell says stay plumbing because he's no longer a plumber because he dresses as Luigi. I like that. That was good. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Well, before I take another call here, any last-minute stories we want to get out, Loki?
Yes, there's a rumor that the 2018 Call of Duty game is going to be set in a modern setting. The reason for that is because Treyarch has a job posting for a combat designer with AAA competitive shooter experience, deep knowledge of firearms and modern military technology, And you also have to be Prestige 1 or above in Black Ops 3 multiplayer. So maybe another Modern Warfare game?
Let's just hope it's not North Korea, because that might hit a little close to home right now with all that's going on in the world. Just saying. IJS. Let's get to another call. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. What's up, buddy?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought I hit the mute button for whatever reason.
That's all right. Yeah. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Well, I heard a certain someone say my two favorite words, free and magic.
Yes.
I figured, when, if you mentioned it, but do you know when this Magic Arena is coming out?
I don't think they've announced a date. My assumption is that most of this kind of stuff you usually want to get out by holiday, but free-to-play games are usually kind of held to a different standard because, it's supposed to be like kind of ongoing, continuous income. So, you would hope that something like this, if they're trying to target the mobile market, would try to be out by the time that Apple's new devices are out, which, time's running out because they're likely to announce new phones next week. And it's usually only about 2 weeks after the announcement before those bad boys come out. So, but I don't think it's going to be that fast with the fact that they're trying to do this whole beta. So, hell, for all we know, it could be next spring before this thing is out. It just really depends on what the developers want to do.
Well, I just hope this comes to Steam because, is anyone on my friends list going to attest to? I played the ever-living crap out of the previous Magic the Gallery games. I mean, I may put a...
Good news, Raginator. I was just going to say, PC is what they're targeting. So they're not even really actually targeting right now the actual mobile market. PC is what they're targeting. Yeah. They haven't said Steam, per se, but does it matter?
Yeah, really.
Exactly. That's what I thought. As long as it's PC somewhere, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Now, for the main reason I was going to initially call before you even brought up Magic the Gathering.
Sure.
Is it safe to say that the three of you are at least somewhat familiar with the RPG Maker series that's available? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm familiar with it. RPG Maker, you guys probably all know it. I mean, we've seen it in Humble
Bundles. Yeah, I just didn't have patience for it.
I was going to say, I was going to ask if any of you guys have ever used it. I'm aware.
Have you? A long time ago.
Oh, okay. See, I never have. Like, I probably picked it up in a Humble thing at some point, but I've played things that were a result of that because I believe To the Moon was out of that.
Yes.
That RPG Maker, right? So I've seen what it can do. Let's put it that way. So that's about my familiarity with it. But have I done a game in it? No.
The main reason I bring it up is I got two questions regarding that. First, now, hypothetically speaking, now, if I were to make a game, be a decent game or a crappy one, and would I be, legally allowed to, let's say, hand it off to someone involved to let them play with it? No. And B, if I would do that, would they be able to play the game just with the file itself that I make, or would they need the actual RPG Maker software to actually run it, like using it for lack of a better term, almost like emulator?
Okay, my assumption, and chat's going to have to help me out here because I'm not familiar enough with the RPG Maker, but my assumption is that there's probably like a really cheap version that would allow you to make games but not really publish them. And then there's probably a more expensive version that does allow you to publish them where you can run the EXEs independently. Now, obviously, RPG Maker has to have some sort of functionality like that somewhere because we've seen games like To the Moon come out. As opposed to how much does it cost to make something like that, that's the part I'm not sure of. Okay, Bobby says RPG Maker has a binary on PC so you can distribute the game. So whatever it is that you make, you would be able to distribute on PC. And you'd have to kind of carefully read the license agreement. I don't know what you're allowed to sell and so forth. But if you're going to give it to a friend that you know through VOG or something like that, or post it on our Discord for people to freely download or something, I think that's actually encouraged. Like, RPG Maker, wants you to do that. That's what it's for. Like, it would kind of be stupid if you built this whole game and then you couldn't share it with somebody. So I think usually the sticky situations get into, but then you profit off it, and I'm not sure what happens from there. I'd have to see the license agreement a little more carefully with that. But yeah, if you want to just design something for friends to play, like that's what this shit is for. Absolutely, do it.
All right, that's great, because I honestly picked up one of the versions of RPG Maker from Humble Bundle some time ago. I haven't really touched it yet, but I've been thinking of doing something with it, throwing a whole bunch of VOG references in it, like what you did with thing you did for Typing of the Dead, like putting quotes in like that, have a character like Bobby Dayward mentioned, VR, have another character they would say, reject false icons, stuff like that.
So you want to do a VOG parody RPG of some sort?
Basically, yeah.
All right, well, I'm flattered, but here's my honest suggestion to you with all that, and this is the total opposite of what Loki does, but listen to me. Don't start off with your most ambitious project. I would say what you need to start with, since I know you love dick and fart jokes, make a 5-minute fart joke RPG just so you can get in there and do it and make something and feel like you've accomplished something. Because if you try to take on the most ambitious project first, you'll probably never finish it.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I can't work on it just yet because, frankly, I've been PC issues. I won't get into that here. But once I get that resolved, I'll start working on it. And chances are, once all that's being said and done, chances are I'll get my project out long before Time to Car comes out. Sorry, Loki, I had to throw that shade out.
By the way, Bobby Blackwolf found, you might want to link us to the website you got this from too, Bobby, but he did find this whole, can I sell my games created with RPG Maker? Thank you for doing the research. I couldn't do because I'm trying to talk to our caller, but can I sell my games? The answer is yes. You can distribute games you created with RPG Maker or IG Maker using its included or add-on materials as freeware or commercialware. You're also allowed to modify the materials with other software like Photoshop, provided they are only used within RPG Maker or IG Maker software and not sold or distributed. So anyway, Bobby linked an FAQ to you. Check it out and read it, and I think all your concerns will be resolved.
Hey, cool. Thanks. I'll definitely look into that.
You're welcome. Well, for anybody listening to the podcast who's curious, it's all part of their official website, rpgmakerweb.com.
All right. Well, thanks again, and I guess I'll clear up the lines just in case Zach Deft or someone else wants to call in.
No worries.
But have a nice night, though.
You too. Good luck with your game. See ya.
Yep. Bye-bye.
You know, I seem to remember years ago, and I feel terrible because I forget the listener's name, but he stopped listening some time ago. He made like a text adventure RPG. Do you remember that? Somebody made a text adventure RPG, and we actually had it on the OLR website for a time. And yeah. I played it, and it was cute. It wasn't even done in like Twine, because this show is so fucking old, I don't think Twine existed yet.
Yeah.
I think he did.
I just looked now. Apparently I've gotten in a few of those RPG Maker bundles because I have 2003 and VX Ace.
Yeah, I have a couple of them myself.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure at some point I would have picked one up too.
We should have like a Game Guru, like, because Game Guru is like the shittiest, like, build your own game engine, like a lot of shit. I mean, it's just shit.
Yeah.
But you can make a first-person shooter game with it, but it'll be shit.
Should we do an RPG Maker game jam at some point? Since it sounds like a lot of people.
It's complicated.
All right, listeners, tell me what
RPGs are probably like the hardest thing to make because they're very complicated.
Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, "What? We need to have another game jam."
We do need another game jam.
I feel a little more encouraged with something like RPG Maker than I do like learning
Unity from
scratch.
Or we could do what they do down here in Sacramento with the IGDA. It's the progressive game jam where it's a longer period of time, like, that you work on shit.
I bet you if we did want to actually do another game jam, I bet those guys would support us 1,000%. I bet they would.
It's like, I would totally get in on their progressive game jam stuff because that, I think, would be more motivating because you're with other people. The problem is I can't meet every Saturday I think they meet one Saturday a month, which isn't so bad, but it's hard enough for me to get away from the house. So,
No, I get it.
I would love to do something like that. I want to be motivated. It's hard. Like this week, like actually the last 2 weeks, it's been car shopping. Just car shopping, car shopping, car shopping. So that was unfortunately what's been taking up my time there.
All right. Well, I think the Skype line is dying. Nobody else is calling in. But if you want to send us something after the fact, you can always tweet us, twitter.com/OLR, or you can always also send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. So that's about it for tonight. Next week is episode 700 of our show, which you would think we'd have a big landmark celebration, but...
Party cake.
Let's get a cake.
Let's get a cake.
We deserve a cake.
But Loki doesn't like cake, right? Do you like cake?
I don't care. You can get a cake. I mean, not eat it, but...
It's not fun if you don't eat the
damn
cake.
We'll get you a burrito.
I like burritos less than I like cake.
Fine. We'll get an In-N-Out cake.
We'll get you a burger.
We'll get a meat cake. All right. Anyway.
Just get a cake. It's fine.
Get the damn cake. All right. Yes. So that's fine. Episode 700. There will be cake.
We'll get one of those, like, was it the Carvel or what? Ice cream cakes.
You want an ice cream cake?
Oh, ice cream's good.
Ice cream is pretty good. We can do an ice cream cake. Cold Stone does ice cream cakes, too. We can get Pokemon on it or something video game themed. We can get Power Rangers on it, so Shane will come over. Well, I'm sure we can figure something out. All right, so next week, cake. All right.
We'll get a person standing on the edge of a cliff pissing into an ocean of piss. So can you make that on this cake, please?
What we'll do, we'll just have a little figure that's just turned upside down so their head is buried in the cake, like they've just offed themselves in the cake, and that'll be congrats, OLR. You're old. Anyway, that's it.
It'll be 700 club themed.
Oh, God, no. No, that's it. We're done. We're over. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and tuning in. Hey, if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but, you know, only if the voices are actually here to spread around. Help us spread the word. Tell a friend. Leave a review on iTunes. A nice 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, wherever it is you found this show. Those go a long, long way. You can also follow us on various forms of social media. You can follow me on Twitter @Skye, SKIE. You can follow. I'm also on Twitch at Rob Roberts on Twitch. Dark Sakura is also on Twitch at DarkSakura_OLR. And you don't really use Twitter as much, but you're there, right? Or Tumblr. You're a Tumblr girl, so people should follow you on Tumblr, right? That's right.
I am Kuro Tsubasa.
Spell it fast.
KUROUTSUBASA.
Thank you.
You totally watch Bravo on Twitch because he drops the N-word all the time.
Don't even joke about that.
He drops the N-word all the time. He says Nintendo constantly.
Have you guys all seen that gif of Sasha Velour from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 going, don't joke about that. That's me to Loki right now. All right. That's all I can think of. I think Loki, your social media plugs, even though after that
I don't have any. You can follow me on Twitter. I occasionally tweet on there. All right. I don't do Facebook really anymore. Occasionally I'll post something there, but I don't know. No, I don't have anything to plug.
All right, that's fine. Your game that's never coming out. All right. That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days for the 700th episode of Orange Lounge Radio. And cake.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.